Hello, everybody, and welcome to our bonus VIP mastermind call for ERC from 2017. And I'm excited to be here with you to just hang out. I have an agenda, but it's really your day, and we're going to give everybody some time to get what you need out of this call. There's 12 people that registered, and hopefully all of them will show up. But right now there are 5 of you on. I don't know who the 5th one is. It just showed up. Maybe it was Lynn. Debbie?
Hi. Ed? Edie just dialed in.
Oh, Edie. Hi, Edie. It says Ed. I'm like, who's Ed? Somebody's crashing our party. Okay. Hi, Edie. Okay. So I'm going to check off who's here. We have Jay. We have Pat. We have Edie, and we have Debbie. Okay, I've got you 4, and then there should be a bunch more. So here's the way this call is going to go. I would like to have some check-ins right at the beginning, and I want to get a sense of a couple of things, and I'll tell you exactly what that is. And so we'll just go round robin on that. That'll be short. And then what I want to do is give everybody an allotted amount of time to actually work on whatever you want to work on. So, and we'll figure that out at the beginning. We'll take a break probably about midway through this call scheduled to go from, it's 10 o'clock in the morning here. So whatever time it is at wherever you guys are, for 4 hours. So if we need to go a little bit over, that's okay. Before my flight got canceled, I was on a very tight time schedule, and I was going to have to shut my computer down and rush out to catch my flight. But fortunately or unfortunately, I don't have to do that. So I can actually stay on a little bit longer.
See, you tell me everything is in perfect and divine timing.
Yeah, I always say that. I mean, I'm sitting here and there's no sign of hurricane except for a little bit of rain. Everybody's freaking out, sending me messages. Are you okay? Be safe. Scott's
I know.
Like,
I have people sending me messages.
Like, have you heard from her? I'm fine. Everything's good, you know?
All the weather reports are not so good. So.
Yeah, I know. I was just talking to, who was I talking to? Oh, Jeff in Colorado goes, I thought you were going to cancel this call on me because, you were in just dire straits. That's what the news is making it out to be. So I was thinking, I wonder if Houston really was as bad as they made it out to be last year. Jay will say yes or no on that, but it was like, we're like, oh my God, everybody's underwater. People are dying all over the streets, and that's what people are thinking is happening here. So I think that's what the news does, right? They like to sensationalize. Oh, there was a bug that got killed. And, he said the same thing happens in Colorado. He's in Arizona where they have monsoons this time of year every year. And he goes, to watch the news, you think this was rare, this was crazy, that people were dying all over the place. Yeah, trees get knocked down all over the time. It happens all the time. We expect it. It's not a big deal anymore. So it's just the way the news makes it out.
Yeah. I bet none of you have heard about the massive flood we've been having in Iowa.
What? Of course not. It didn't make the news. You're not declared a national
disaster.
Nobody
knows anything about the flooding.
You
probably
have more flooding than I have here in Maui. But anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on that. So if I lose power, whatever just happened, I have no idea. But one outlet lost power. Lynn, I'll text Lynn, if Lynn's not on, I'll text Pat on Facebook via my phone, unless internet goes down. But I mean, it's stopping the rain and there seems to be sun coming through. So who the heck knows? I'm here for an extra day at least. And so that means that VHK tomorrow is canceled. I was going to try to say, I'll just do it from here. No big deal. But I don't know what it's going to be like if I'll have electricity or internet. So we'll just figure it out. I could say, I'll do it Sunday because I get home. But I don't know, if they're going to cancel that flight too. So who knows? So anyway, we're here. So here's what I would like to do, and I've got the order that you guys signed up in, and I'll just go through in that order, and I'm going to have you, first of all, I would like to have each one share with me 2-3 things, right? One is your most recent bold goal. You know how we do 90-day bold goals. What is your most recent bold goal? And then what celebration do you have for either across the whole year together or recent or, you know, something, and that could be something you accomplished, something you're now doing that you're having difficulty doing, something that's shifted in your body, whatever that might be. And then what is one thing that you want to work on today? And if there's labs involved, I want to note that so we could get those labs queued up for me to be looking at. All right, so three things. Your most recent bold goal, and whether you're still working on it, how you feel about it, whatever, celebration, and then one thing you want to work on, about, you know, probably 2 minutes a person. And we are going to start with Jay.
Me?
Yes, that's you. I think that's, you're the only Jay on here, unless I could just call you host now.
Sorry. I need to work on my hearing. Yeah, so I just had my second eye cataract surgery on this last Tuesday, and so that the surgery went well for that, as well as the other eye, which was 2 weeks ago. I'm still kind of adapting to it.
Is your vision better?
Well, it's different. I'll put it that way. I mean, yeah. I can see, you know, intermediate and distance without any kind of correction at all. So I've still got some astigmatism in a right eye, but they, you know, they treated that with kind of a mini LASIK procedure to start with, and it takes some time for the eye to flatten out.
Right.
So I'm really not going to know for another month how that goes. But yeah, everything's brighter. That's a big noticeable change as opposed to being yellowish, which you really distinguish when I was in between eyes. One eye, everything was kind of yellowish cast, and everything's bright. I've still got my retina problem in the right eye, and then they checked me for, so here's one of my issues is, so they checked me for, they still see some of the blood clotting in my right eye has dissipated, but then there's a couple of new spots, and so that has them concerned, and which means that my blood pressure is I'm still having, you know, higher levels of blood pressure, then I also have low levels, so it hasn't evened out yet. You know, I'm talking to the cardiologist. It's like he said, well, you can go ahead and self-regulate. I mean, don't take it when your blood pressure is low, of course. You know, take it when you're experiencing high blood. Well, it takes a couple of hours for that stuff to work. So I don't know. I'm going to need to get a better, either I need to get a different cardiologist, get it, you know, try something different. I'm not sure what. Okay. Going back on Tuesday for another follow-up eye check, and then she'll probably send me over to the retina guy for him to take a look, make sure I don't have any macula edema, you know, swelling of the macula. Right. So that's about all I've physically and mentally been dealing with is this eye stuff.
Did they put you on steroids? Well, we'll get to that when we go around again. I'll just make a quick right through. I'm making notes as I go along. So
my celebration is, you know, that, you know, the surgeries went well. I guess that's, you know, celebratory. What was the third thing?
If they put you on medications. What was your most recent bold goal?
Oh, well, yeah, trying to control my blood pressure better. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let's move to who's next on my list. Edie.
Sorry, I think I was on mute. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay, great. Thanks. I'm in the car, so I just don't have you guys on video, but hi, everyone. My celebration, I'll start there, is that I quit my job in July. I completely quit corporate world work and work completely. So that was huge and very exciting. And then two things have come up that have been unexpected, that have been taking my time, which was a big surprise, but that's how life happens. But when I was on vacation in July, we had a flood. And so that's requiring
like, you know, floor repair. And so we were at some point going to do a kitchen remodel, but then now all of that's been expedited. So my days have been filled with meeting with, you know, contractors for estimates and plumbers and mm-hmm. structural engineers and scheduling all this and getting, you know, multiple opinions and on. So, so there's that's been really time consuming and kind of like overwhelming. And, but you know, insurance is covering the flooring part. So I'm not going to complain because I didn't realize how expensive all this.
So anyway,
of course I'm doing research on non-toxic flooring, which I've found some and I'm just trying to do it the right way. Mm. So that's, you know what? That was one of those things that's a blessing in disguise, because I bet the kitchen remodel would have never happened if we had finally gotten to the pricing out of everything. You know, insurance is actually paying to pack out the entire house and have our furniture moved out. So, to do the flooring. So
as you said, divine timing, right?
And yeah.
Had you not quit your job, how would you have all the time? And now
impossible. It would have been absolutely impossible. Yeah. Cause I'm telling you, between that and then the week I got back, my mother-in-law fell and broke her hip. And so I know, sad. And she lives in independent living. So she's supervised and, you know, they cook her food and there's a nurse to check in, but I've been having to do a lot. So, and she lives about 45 minutes away. So I've been out there, you know, doctor's appointments, x-rays, beauty appointments. And so again, if I had not quit my job and I was traveling all over the place, that would have been so awful for her to, you know, she just would be really in a bad bind. So I'm grateful that I'd quit and, you know, in that timing. But with that said, I haven't done a single thing for ERC since renewing my annual, you know, my deal for this year. And so I also have a stack so I'm getting to my goal. my testing that I've yet to do, I have a GIFX kit. I have for a 3-day stool test. I have a urine organics, and I have a ZRT saliva, you know, that my local-ish integrative doctor has, you know, I paid for them. And it's just a matter of, you know, how those things are kind of a pain to schedule out and
oh, yeah. I have
all that. You have to read all the instructions.
So they're probably no good anymore to get new kits, even though I paid for them.
Yeah.
So I understand totally.
I know. It's so frustrating because it's just been weighing on me, that and then just kind of getting my head around ERC, which I haven't done. So those two things have been
weighing on me. We're going to work on, I know exactly what we're going to work on during your time. So.
Oh, good.
Okay.
But you know what's interesting? It's like, of course I thought I'd have all this time and I'd be relaxed. And then it's interesting because I'm used to having a very structured day and now I know I have all these things to do but nobody else, you know, kind of calling the shots. And so randomly I'm struggling with anxiety and I'm like, why am I having anxiety? Mm-hmm. I quit my job so that I'd have time to do this. And so I'm having to really stop and do a lot of deep breathing. So that's kind of where
I've been. It's interesting how we go into our MO. Right.
Yeah.
It's just your way of being. And we think that our stress, our anxiety, our depression, the way we feel has to do with that out there.
Yeah.
Well, that out there,
whatever it was,
changes. And we realize, wait a minute, I need to shift some of the things in here in order to be able to manage this. So yeah. I can talk to you about that from personal experience as well as, you know, from a clinical perspective. Okay. Good. Thank you, Edie.
Yeah, thank you.
Debbie.
Hi. Trying to remember what the questions are.
Yeah, so what was your most recent bold goal and how do you feel about your progress towards it, or are you still working on it? And then what's one celebration? And then is there a particular thing you want to work on today during your time? And if there's not, don't worry, we will find it. I will just be working with you and we're going to make everybody will make some shifts.
Well, it's interesting because what I'm realizing is I'm needing help with focusing and clarity. And I don't have a recent bold goal because I've been overwhelmed with so many multiple goals, kind of like, I think I've been in overwhelm. And so I have a lot of priorities, and I kind of go from one to the other, to the other, to the other, and it's been hard to make any real progress because I feel like I'm juggling a lot of priorities. And when I was just working on my getting to know you form, I'm almost done with that. And, you know, it was helpful because I could see the 10 things that I'm working on, and it asked about priority and importance, and they truly are all, I'm not like, you know, exaggerating, they truly all are important. And that's why I'm joining ERC again. But I'm needing help with focus and clarity and not being in, how to kind of go about this a little bit more systematically than my brain is able to do right now. And when you have competing priorities, how to kind of, I know I'm going to have to work on some of them simultaneously, but how to kind of find the most key one to start with.
Right.
And I had to, you know, move this past year, so I lost a good 6 months, first 6 months of ERC, because it was, you know, the process of finding a new place.
Right.
That's a big process. And then I moved to a different county, so then the move, and then unpacking, and then having to evacuate for a month because of a fire, and moving back in. You know, it was like easy to lose 6 months that way.
Yes.
And there are some questions about my current environment that may not be a good match environmentally for my body, but I need to explore that, maybe do some testing here and explore that to know if I'm going to continue here or in another location still within the county. I'm going to stay in the county.
Okay.
So anyhow, that's there. But the goal that I did make in the past six, or the accomplishment in the past 6 months, which was really huge for me, is I figured out what combination I need to do in my daily routine to help my body be regular as far as healing constipation, which I know we can talk about that here, but it sounds like a funny goal to be celebrating, but it's really big for me.
It's huge for anybody. Yeah.
So I finally found, you know, working with Lisa, and I finally found the right magnesium and vitamin C and, you know, a combination that gets my system a lot more regular than it's been like my entire life.
Right.
So I feel like
that's a huge celebration.
I'm so happy about that. And that makes such a difference. I'm like, oh, this is what it feels like to like not be so toxic all the time.
Yeah.
And I still have a lot of toxicity to work on, but that had to be the first step to even be able to tackle the infections, because otherwise, how am I going to get rid of stuff as I'm, you know, battling infections?
You can't. And it just is constantly. Yes. Yay. I'm excited for you. Okay. Well, we have some good stuff to work on, and we'll see if we can make a breakthrough here and help you to get a little bit more organized. And okay, cool. All right. My next page, the next person is, I keep flipping back to pages because I'm trying to make notes as we go along. So I've got Jay, we've got Debbie, we've got Pat, and then it looks like Karen joined us. So then we'll have Karen after that. So let's go to Pat. Yeah. And I'm going to say one thing for as a celebration for Pat. She's here! Yay! You're muted, though.
Yes, that's a celebration in itself. It is.
A huge celebration. I've known Pat for how long? What, 10, 12 years or more?
A long time, yes.
She came to one of my first classes in my home, probably, 12 years ago, probably 2006. And she used to come and help me and help do prep. And she came to all my classes at home. She's come to my potlucks and been in probably every program I've ever done.
And I was looking forward to these summer drinks, I have to tell you, this Saturday, but another time.
Yes.
It'll be summer long enough.
It will be summer till end of October. So, all right. So, Pat, bold goal.
So, bold goal. Right. I guess a bold goal that I wanted to have, but it ended up not happening, was testing my glucose. And I was real good for a while doing that, and then the test-to-go strips are kind of not around anymore, so mid-poking, I switched to Keto Mojo, mm-hmm. which totally was 10 points over almost everything. So when I thought my glucose was pretty good, if Keto Mojo is correct, then it's 10 points over what mm-hmm. Testigo was. Anyway, so that was one thing that I was working on. But in the middle of it, I went to the sweet spot area and looked at what we needed to do to initiate the sweet spot thing a month before, right? Mm-hmm. And I had been taking D, mm-hmm. and Steph suggested I take L-theanine to help with jitters and whatever L-theanine helps with, calming sleeping. Yeah. And I decided that I needed to take B12 and B-complex but I honestly, I don't think I absorb them correctly, but I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Mm-hmm. But what ended up happening, which is something that's always bothered me, but it hasn't bothered me enough. I quit taking a high blood pressure medication kind of by accident and then never started taking it again. But my blood pressure has gone down.
Oh, nice.
But not, I don't have a daily read. So anyway, that wasn't the goal. The goal was the glucose. And it ended up being that it looks like my blood pressure is dropping.
That's a great celebration, right?
I wanted that, but I figured it. But the sweet spot stuff, I'm wondering if that had something to do with it, because on top of the D and the L-theanine and the Bs, about when I started doing the sweet spot stuff, and I don't have the date in front of me right now, it may have been April, I started taking DHA, magnesium taurate, and glucose support formula.
Okay, got it.
I've been taking those, and since I've been taking those, that's when I've noticed the drop in the blood pressure.
Right.
But I don't know if that's coincidental or I don't know. Anyway.
Here's the thing you don't need to know. It's coincidental, right?
I just want to make sure that I'm not spotting in on the, and it's still 134 over 78, so it's still on the high side, but it's not. But it's more, there's more of those and more like, you know, a few 140s and then whatever, but there's more of the.
Know that I also want you to know and hone in on the bottom number, the diastolic is the critical number, right? Yeah, the difference between them is important as well, but I'm more concerned with if the diastolic goes up, even if systolic doesn't. So if you had 120 over 90, I'd be more concerned than 134 over 78.
And sometimes that bottom one's high, but it's usually because I have to monitor this, that I'm like going someplace and I can't find whatever it is I need and I'm tearing stuff apart. I think, but
yeah.
Because when they do a second reading, it drops. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I mean, this is not, but it's something I noticed, my nails. My nails are strong.
Mm.
They don't peel anymore. They don't split. They don't crack. Anyway, so something happened with what I was taking, and my nails are better,
awesome.
Which is nice. Anyway.
It's always nice. It's always nice when you get those unexpecteds. And here's the thing. The body heals in layers, and the body heals at its own pace. And when you get out of its way and remove some of the interferences and provide the nutrients and the support and the meditation, whatever else it needs, it just starts healing. And you can't control necessarily the order that it's going to do that in.
So that's
one sweet spot and suddenly their fatty liver is gone. Other people, you know, everybody's a different one. Mm-hmm. Person in sweet spot and then her Hashimoto's of 50 years was gone. So I think part of it is we're in such a mentality of controlling everything. that we want to control everything and understand every little thing. And I think it's just when you can let it go and just allow your body to heal and just go, wow, and just like marvel at the things that are improving and go, huh, that's interesting. And approach things that aren't with wonder and curiosity and the anxiety. And I think a lot of the themes I see in the group, in the people that come to ERC, is there is a lot of that, what I call hypervigilance, because the rest of the folks are out there with the same problems you have. And they're just like, oh, let me pop this and let me pop that. And oh, man, my, maybe I got cancer from this. And maybe, you know, they're not thinking about it, but you're like, let me make sure everything's right. Right. And that's a good thing in one regard, but it also is something that can interfere with your healing. And so that's the piece that we want to really focus on, is helping you to be able to start to just approach with wonder and curiosity. Gee, I wonder why there's sun out right now when they said we're having a hurricane in my friend. That's bizarre, you know, like, huh. But it's just approaching all of that stuff. And a lot of us have those genetics. I can't wait to go through the genetics with you, Pat, but to see, because a lot of us have those genetics. I'm one of them that make us hypervigilant. I have serious across the board, and it's been work for me to shift that perspective. And oh, we maybe we'll have a hurricane. Oh, well, I've done everything I can, and this is the way it's going to be. You know what I mean? That I can't say that some of that anxiety starts to build up when I get on the phone with my husband and he's freaking out. And I go, thank you, honey. I'll see you later. I'm going to talk to you later because I'm going to just go meditate a little bit and get this anxiety you just evoked in me down. And I'm just going to go back to just being. And that's a piece that all of us need to learn how to do, that it all comes from different places in our background.
Right? Yeah, that was what you just said, that you were fine, and then somebody else is worried about for you, and so the anxiety creeps up, and how you shut that off, right? Or not well, shut it down, but
I deal with it, I accept it, and then I say, okay, there's nothing I can do about this right now, right? And I keep saying over and over, and Lynn keeps hearing me say over the last few days, like the serenity prayer. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, mm-hmm. right? I changed all the things in this environment that I could change. I'm on an island. I can't drive 300 miles and escape it like I could if I was in Houston and I got wind of this hurricane coming. I could drive away if I wanted to. I'm on an island. I'm here, right? Up country is supposed to be worse than by the shore because of mountain runoff. So there's no place I can go. I took all the furniture off the patio that could blow away and break my windows. It's all sitting in my living room right now, including the barbecue and the picnic table and everything. I went to the store and I got water and I got food. And like Scott said, make sure you get gas. I'm like, honey, I could drive completely around this island twice on my gas tank. Why do I need to go sit in line with panicking people on an island waiting for gas? Doesn't even make sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, in Houston, in Florida, wherever else these hurricanes hit, yeah, fill up with gas because you want to get the hell out of there. But so anyway, I did all the things I could, and then I just said, okay, I'm going to just go for a walk on the beach. Right? And that's the way we need to learn to live our lives, is to do everything you can and then go for a walk on the beach. And that's going to help your health more than anything else. And it's the same thing with the glucose. I'm doing my continuous glucose meter, and I think this would be good for you, Pat.
Yeah.
We can talk about how you can get one. But I take it, and I notice that as I get like that, my blood sugar goes up. I could not have eaten anything, and my blood sugar goes up. How's that? Cortisol. So then I go, okay, I know how to control this. So then I have to go into, you know, some heart math, some meditation, some deep breathing, gratitude, bring it back down. And it can come back down relatively quickly when you do that. So it's just so much of what we do in this program is helping you to become self-aware, right? Self-aware. And then if you're self-aware, you can do self-empowered healthcare. And it may not go at the speed you want it to. And there may be some diversions, and there may be some underlying problem that maybe has been there for a while, but hasn't shown its head. And as you try to fix things, you go, well, why is this showing up? I'm supposed to be better. It's everything unfolding. And that's what I'm trying to help you guys to do. So we'll work on that. Sorry, I didn't mean to take so long.
I've got the same issues too, Pat.
Pardon me?
Oh, yeah.
I have similar issues. Yeah.
We all do. That's why we're here. Yeah, I just want everybody to think. Everybody thinks, oh, yeah, you're fine. You don't understand. No, you don't understand. I do understand. Because I'm outsmarting my genetics, and I'm working on, you know, keeping my genetics in tow every minute of the day. And if I don't, then I go and I notice it. And I, you know, yeah, we're all on a path. And all of a path of learning. But the path we've taken different from being on a medical path is they're looking at, oh, what symptom do you have? Here, take this. Here, take this. Let's get rid of those symptoms. That doesn't mean you're getting well. We're looking at what can we do to change the underlying and help you to really overcome it and get well. So thank you. And celebration that your blood pressure.
And the celebration is definitely that, yeah, the blood pressure seems to be lower. And I want to say I haven't noticed any AFib.
Yay. That's huge.
So we'll have to see about that.
Okay, here's the other thing I want to all give you, right? Because sometimes as your body starts to do the right things, we all kind of say, yeah, but. It's like we've been told, we've been brought up like, wait for the other shoe to drop. Like, rather than celebrating, but maybe it's not really.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's not, or maybe this isn't the right environment. I really want to teach you how to just, oh yeah, it's great, right? Not like, oh, like Scott, oh, it stopped raining. Oh yeah, but it's gonna start up again. I'm like, I choose to believe that, huh, the sun's coming out and the rain is slowing down. I'm going to choose to think that we all, with our collective energies, have blown that storm out to sea so nobody else gets hurt, right? And so we can choose. It's called make-believe. We did it when we were kids. And remember how happy we were? I mean, some people, I know people whose parents had a tent in the middle of the room and used a camping stove, and they camped out, and they thought it was because it was fun, and they found out later it was because they had no money left, and the electric company had turned off the electricity, so they had no choice. I used to think my mom would treat us every Friday. We would get egg salad sandwiches, and I thought this was a great dinner. Wow, egg salad sandwiches for dinner. I find out later it was because she ran out of money and the paycheck didn't come till Monday and we had to make do over the weekend, right? So kids make believe, they make up stories, and we can too. And beliefs are just that, right? There's something that someone else gave you that you heard reinforced enough that you took it as truth. But beliefs are not necessarily truths. They're just beliefs. And just as you can take on a belief, you can let go of a belief and take on a new belief, right? So believing that your body has the ability to heal itself, that there are currently imbalances that are based on prior dietary lifestyle indiscretions or genetic tendencies or exposures you couldn't control, like molds and fires, and that once we get the body in the right course, it will heal itself. And believing that is a huge part of this process. Believing in you is a big part of the process. How many stories have you heard of people with huge cancers that, you know, do this whatever, meditation retreat, or they go in a fast, or they do something and it goes away, and they're like, you were supposed to be dead by now. And they're not, because they didn't buy into it. And those that do buy into it, you've got 6 months to live. Okay, I've got 6 months to live. And they're gone in 6 months. So let's just create new beliefs. And that's why part of the process in the beginning is that setting your beliefs. And with this year's program, we are going to be going through every month, we're going to be focusing on a particular pillar. Rather than leaving it to chance and overwhelm, because you're going, there's 15 different things, what should I do? Well, starting with one and then going to two and then all the way progressing to 15 would be a good suggestion. But those of us with that kind of an MO, me included, go, oh, there's so much, I'm going to do a little of this. Oh, let me go over here. Let me go. It's like a kid in a candy store, right? So we're going to take you through a process. Some of it you may have already been through. Great. Let's reinforce those behaviors and beliefs. We're going to take you through that process. Okay? In your small groups and in your big groups. Right? Super. Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I kind of forget the question.
This is what we were doing. We were going around, and this is just brief, and then everybody's going to get a chance to really go deep and work on what you want to work on. One is if you have a most recent bold goal, a goal that you were trying to work towards, what was that, and how are you doing on that? Number two is, what's a celebration? And then number three is, what are there particular things you want to work on in our time together, or just flow with whatever comes up? Because everybody will get a concentrated amount of time to just work on whatever you need to work on.
Bold goal. It's kind of aligned with probably the celebration. I actually, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I actually have started going back to the gym. I've been going regularly now for a while. I feel great. I'm doing aerobics and weight training and different classes. Also trying to hike and try to get outside almost every day. A bold goal would be to be able to get back on my bike again. And like last week I hiked 6 miles, 2 days each. And so I've actually been going out and just joining a meetup group and hiking with them. And then let's see. So celebration then is also just going out and, you know, and it's amazing how much exercise has just helped level everything out. And it's so much easier, I think, sometimes, too, like you were talking about with some of the other folks, of just being able to let go and just kind of meditate. I think it actually makes all that easier. And I think then, as long as you're able to do it and you're not feeling bad, then you aren't quite so super hyper-focused on the details.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then in the meantime, like in the last couple weeks, I've picked up quilting again, which is actually just awesome, because I took a class and made a quilt before my husband got sick, and once he got sick, I kind of dropped everything and never picked it back up again, and I started my first class on Sunday. And
wonderful.
So.
Yay, you've got a lot of celebrations, and, you know, it goes along to a lot of the pillars, right? Meditation, the fun with the quilting, and the fun with meeting new people and going out hiking, but then the outdoors and getting exposure to the vitamin D and the outdoor elements, cleaning up your environment, because then you're not indoors so much and you're not breathing recycled indoor air. You're out, you know, I'm like, you have hit so many, and then the exercise, of course, at the gym and all.
And I do think that certainly being in the program the last 2 years is been part of trying to get me to move towards that kind of thing. Challenges though, like my knees are killing me and I cannot quite figure that out. I don't know what that is.
Is that new or is that something that's been going on?
No, it only started once I started back to the gym, and it started initially and then kind of went away, but now it's back.
Okay.
Sticking around. It's definitely not arthritis because it's weight bearing. They don't just ache. But I can't do a squat to save my life.
Okay. We'll put that on the list. And if you come up with anything else that you want to talk about, I could ask you some questions and see if we could hone in on some approaches that you can try to help with that.
All right. Okay? Great. Thank you.
Fantastic. Let's see. Did anybody else come on? I didn't. Let me put up this thing. Karen, Debbie, Edie, I keep seeing Ed. Let me get this out of full screen mode and have this next to, there I can see. Okay, so we've got everybody. There's about six people who haven't, or seven people who haven't come on.
Sarah had contacted me earlier. She had a relative who passed away. And so the reception, the funeral, everything is happening at the same time. So she wanted me to pass along to you. She's really bummed, but this is where she needs to be.
Of course, you know, we got to set our priorities. I'm sorry, they've had so many deaths in their families. That's sad. Okay, so she's not coming. Did you hear from anybody else? I know that Donna signed up right again today, so early today. And then there we have the other ones on my list are Sandy, Sandra, Lore, Karen.
And I did actually, Lore actually, I did hear from that she was going to try and make it on. She ended up having some company come.
Okay.
So she we'll was see. Like, you may see her.
All right.
Could I add something to what you've already shared? Because I just really want to support what you said about mindset. I know one thing that you and I both, but we want you to know that this is a place that's safe, that we have your back. And so as you explore all of this, sometimes our sense of hardship comes from the fact we feel we're alone, and we want to know you're not alone, that we're here. But no matter what, if knowing that, you know, whatever you want to call it, some greater power is there along with us to help support you, is going to help you with that mindset that Dr. Emery was sharing with you, is so important. And so I just wanted to emphasize that, that just really helps. That's why having this community is so important, because you're not alone. And sometimes that's what helped that with that mindset. You'll often hear Tony talking about doing what's right versus doing the right thing. You know, there's doing what's right for you versus doing what the rest of the world says is the right thing. And that's where having this community to process and know that you're supported by us. And that just takes some of the pressure off. So I just wanted to support you, because that is so critical to any forward motion you make.
And I think that healing, and it doesn't matter whether you have a religious orientation, a spiritual, it's about, there is something, obviously life is something that is not physical. We can't touch it. It's not tangible. And I'll just tell you this, and this may sound wacky, depending on, you know, I know some of you have a specific religion that you're into and some of it's more spiritual, but there are times when I'm tuning in and listening and I'm hearing myself say things, and I'm so glad it's recorded, because I have no idea where it's coming from, right? It's just something that I'm tuning into that I'm getting, and the words come, and sometimes people say, oh, wait, slow down. Can you repeat that? And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I can't. I really, because it came through in a way that, you know, it's coming through my intellect, sure. Coming through my heart, sure. But I don't always know, like, I say things sometimes that I've never said before, because it's the energy and the connection with that particular person at that particular moment in time. And, you know, whether you have a religious orientation or spiritual, or you're an agnostic or atheist, it doesn't matter. Believing in this inner healing wisdom, that when you cut the skin open, it knows how to close it. When you break a bone, it knows how to knit it. And when we get in the way of it, right, when we keep pouring dirty laundry dishes or water, whatever, into that wound, the body doesn't know how to, it doesn't know how to heal it anymore. And that's when we get infections and redness and things that don't go away. So it's a matter of looking at, how do we empower that inner healer within you? And actually, if you guys have been into the new site yet, you know, we have this new place where it's called Empower Your Inner Healer. And it's something I just pulled together based on different pieces that are in the foundations, but it's like, here's the first steps in allowing that healer to have free reign. And that's what we want. And we all have an inner knowing. We all have inner guidance. You know, you ever have an idea, some people call it intuition, and it's learning to trust that, right? If your intuition says, eat some M&Ms now, it's probably not your intuition. It's your inner child who's been feeling like you're working too hard and wants a treat right now. And every kind of time you get one of those messages, it's stopping and interpreting it.
Right. And it's good to see, you're telling me I want M&Ms and a Coke. I wonder why you're telling me that.
Because I know it's not good for me.
Don't dismiss the message. Don't say, go sit in the corner. Just say, where is that one coming from?
Right.
Because it's telling you that you're either unhappy or just something is going on inside you and you just, I want to be bad.
Yeah, or comforted. You don't want to be bad necessarily.
Or comforted. Well, you just want to break out.
You want, yes.
Literally, I would break out.
That's what would happen to me with that. Seriously. All right. So we'll start again with Jay. Anybody have any questions or comments before we get started? And I'm going to use a timer so that everybody gets their time. If people come in, we will go through all of you who are here on time through this whole process. And then when other people come in, they'll get the opportunity to, with whatever time is left, get some sharing going there. Okay? All right. Let's see. I'm going to get my timer up. I'm going to go to my timer. And I'll give you 7 hours and 11 minutes. That wouldn't work, would it, Jay? I think that would work for any of us. All right. I think what I'll do is I'll set the timer and we'll just kind of for a couple of minutes so we have a couple of minutes to wrap. All right. So I'm going to start with Jay. And what I want you to start with is to make this a successful interaction, to make it worth your time to be here today, what's one thing you'd like to walk away with? And I'd like all of you to think about that right at the beginning so we can be focused, because it's real easy to get all over the map, right? And start to tell me about your Aunt Sally and your Uncle Pete and whatever. And I'm like, let's bring it back. So let's use our time efficiently, but let's keep that goal in mind. So I'm going to go ahead and start. And Jay, what would that be for you? One thing.
Well, my priority right now is to even out my blood pressure, but I still have, the hormone balance and things that I'm working on. And I took myself off of pretty much all of my supplements except for vitamin C in preparation for this eye surgery. I didn't want there to be any interactions or interference and whatnot with that. So I need to start easing back on, I guess, my supplement program.
Okay.
But yeah, I've got the neuropathy, but that's kind of incidental probably to other things. And it's going to be what it is. So I think those are the two main things, with the top one being trying to even out this blood pressure, which.
All right. So I'm going to ask you a few questions because I want to get a sense of, have you been monitoring? I know you keep good records, so you probably know, on average, is it pretty much in the same ballpark in the morning? Other particular times of day when it's higher? So what do you have a sense of in terms?
No, there's not any pattern. I mean, I'm looking for a pattern, but this morning I took it. It was 150 over 85 or something like that. And it was like, I'm just starting my day. I'm really not even thinking about anything other than going to work,
Yeah.
That was weird to me. So I went ahead and took a half of my dosage on one of my meds, just to get started on that. I guess if it's high at all, maybe there has been somewhat of a pattern. It's going to be like in the afternoon. By the time I get home, I'll take it and it'll be more likely to be higher than lower. I had to give up exercising too. She does. They don't want you doing anything that could impact the pressure in your eye. I can't bend over.
Oh yeah. Until you have heels.
Can't pick up anything more than 20 pounds.
Right.
I said, I've got a recumbent bike. Can I get on there and just do soft, easy pedaling? You go, no, we don't want you you know, that could generate pressure. You can walk. If you want to walk, you can walk. Walk all you want. Those, so
okay.
Kind of, you know, probably got at least another week or two, I guess, before. Right. Well, it's probably going to be a month before I can start.
I think I usually have it be a month. Did they put you on any steroids?
No, I mean, there were some. I don't know what they dropped in my eye. I mean, there were all kinds of drops they were dropping in my eye, but no, I'm not taking anything.
You're not taking anything, you know, now.
Yeah.
I've seen people who get cataract surgery and then they have the drops that they're putting in and they don't even realize that they're giving them steroids and suddenly their blood sugar's up.
Yes, Prolensa is, I think, an anti-inflammatory drop.
And that's what you're taking?
She had me start taking it again for, I'd stopped taking after 2 weeks. I stopped taking on my first eye, and that's my problem of mine. She goes, well, why don't you start taking that twice a day again? Let's see if that'll help with what's going on there.
Did you notice any change in your blood pressure or your blood sugar when you did that, when you started that?
Well, I mean, yeah, higher in the morning, although I hadn't put it in my, yeah, I don't know, maybe I had put it in my eye. Yeah, possible. Yeah.
That could be related.
I don't know if one experience is a pattern, but.
Well, yeah, check it. Keep an eye on it. And sometimes it's just like looking for a pattern. Like if you added a supplement or a drug, that can affect blood sugar and can affect blood pressure.
Yeah, I'll start. Yeah, if that does, I'll start putting that in my record, in my.
Yeah, put that, yes, absolutely. Record,
so then I can see when I print it out.
I know you were doing hawthorn berry, you were magnesium, some of the things that will help with blood pressure.
Right. Yeah.
Did you stop those?
Yeah, I stopped everything, yeah.
Okay.
Well, except for magnesium and potassium. Whenever I take the diuretic, I want to make sure I'm taking magnesium, potassium.
Okay. And dose of magnesium, is it still up at like 600, 500, 600?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I've got one tablet. I take magnesium glycinate. It's got 1,000 milligrams in it.
Okay.
I've got some ones that are 400 or so. So I try to take at least 1,000 or 2,000 a day.
Okay,
I've got powdered also.
Yeah, I think at this point, you know, going back on the hawthorn berry would be good because it's a tonifier strengthener.
Okay.
I would not go back on the natto kinase until you get the clear that, you know, everything's clear with this, just because it is a, could be a blood thinner, and post-surgery, yeah, you don't want to do that too soon.
Right.
I would certainly say vitamin C, but not in super high doses, 3,000 or less a day.
Okay. That's been about what I've been taking.
Okay. And you taking the liposomal?
Liposomal, and then there's another patented process, PureWay. Yeah. All right.
So I would add things one day at a time. I wouldn't just say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to take these five supplements that I was taking, and monitor blood sugar, blood pressure, how you feel, your energy, and just kind of watch it, right? Eyes, how do you feel with that? I mean, you can't really look in your own eyes. That's one of the things.
Right.
I've tried. I will tell you, I tried. But I cannot get to see my own retinas. It just is impossible to do. So that's hard to tell, but the blood pressure, right, and figuring out what that is. Are you walking?
Not really, no.
Okay. Well, that's the only exercise you're allowed to do right now.
I know.
In the evening, or you get up early enough in the morning, instead of getting on your bike, go out when it's nice and cool in Houston, or as cool as it will be ever.
Yeah, I understand.
Right? I think that actually you might be better in the evening, because isn't it more humid in the morning in Houston? I don't know.
It's hot until 9 o'clock. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, do it in the morning when you first get up. Go for 20 to 30 minutes. Put on something that you want to listen to, so you're using your time effectively, right? So, because a lot of times the monkey mind goes, well, I don't have time for that. I have to do this. I have to do that. See what you can do that you're listening to something and you know, making making the time productive.
Okay? So I got the new glucometer, but I postponed installing that until I got past this eye thing. So I think this weekend.
Yeah, I would do that, because that
way you can install the patch, and I'm going to start monitoring that more closely then.
Had you done one before and you just didn't do the refill? Had you been one?
No, I haven't started.
At all. Oh, yeah. So
it's just my mental state. I had this whole eye thing I wanted to get past, you know.
I hear you.
Last weekend, I had to start taking the drops. I had to stop wearing a contact. So I only had vision out of one eye. And I just, you know.
Yeah.
I did nothing.
But now you shouldn't need contacts at all, right? Because they do the.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a positive, that's for sure. But definitely would have been nice to see this glucometer and just show you the effects of stress, physiologic stress and psychological stress, because once they start, you're going to see that like shoot up even if you, so it'd be good. I would do it now.
I'm going to put it on tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay. And then start to monitor it, keep your records and do your ketones. Are you testing ketones too?
No, I hadn't been doing that.
Do you want me to send you the chart that I put together that has ketones in it and then calculations and all
okay.
that? Has
okay.
blood pressure. You can look at it and see or, you know, maybe edit yours or whatever. Okay, I'm going to send you, send. Spreadsheet. So patterns, right? Patterns emerge when you have a lot of data and you have all the equipment to get the data. So I would say the continuous glucose meter, monitor that. If you want to upload it, they have an online app. I haven't mastered it yet, but you can upload it and then you can share your info with me so I can look at it with you. But just keep monitoring it. I would say you want to make sure that you test it several times. I just do it often, but even if you don't, it will hold the data for, I think, 12 hours in here. So you'll still see the graph, even if you haven't been testing it.
So will the downloadable part result in data that I can generate a graph to print out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because even this thing does. So you can see my graph. You can't really see it, right? But you can see that there's a graph at the bottom.
Yeah, I'm getting
all morning.
Pretty small.
Yeah, it is. But it's not small when you're looking up close to it. But it on the screen, it will be much bigger. And then I could see if I go overnight – I'm not waking up all night to test it, but it'll show. And sometimes it goes down. Like I like it to go in the 60s. It doesn't like it to go below 70. So it makes it red. It says you're in low blood glucose. I'm like, but that's what I'm striving for.
Okay.
So it'll show me, oh, look, I got a couple of reds throughout the night. Hey, yeah. What you find is that glucose isn't steady. It's steady up and down. So when we test with our meters and we think, oh, there's something wrong with this meter, it's not that. It's just that that's what the blood sugar is constantly regulating up, down, not like huge, but within the 3 to 5 point up and down. You go, wait a minute, why did it go up to 90? I didn't eat anything. Oh, but I got up, I brushed my teeth, I got, you know, I looked at the news or whatever. So it's really going to be good data. And if you do your ketones with it, I only do the ketones. I personally do them twice a day. First thing in the morning, last thing at night. Okay. And then I want to be able to look at what you're doing diet-wise, exercise-wise, shift things around in such a way that we can optimize your ketone production and your glucose levels. And that alone is going to make a huge difference, I think, in the way everything else is functioning.
The other thing I'm trying to do more regularly is use a Muse.
Yes. All right. So I'm going to challenge you on the Muse. And the cool part about the Muse is it starts to keep a record for you. So if you only do it 2 days in a row and then you do it again, you don't really care that you lost your 2 days in a row. But I'm going to challenge you to do it for 10 days straight.
Okay.
Right. And then you're going to have a record in there and it says you have a streak of 10 days. And because you have a little bit of that, you know, kind of competitive nature and that geeky nature and you like to control things, you go, well, I don't want to start all over at zero now. I got to do the 11th day, even if it's just for 3 minutes. Right.
That was one problem I had was I was going too long. I had like 18 minutes or something. I changed that to 10 minutes and that was more doable because otherwise it was like I'm laying there going, okay, when is this going to end?
That's not good. So I started with 3 minutes. I did 3 minutes for several weeks. I got up to 5 minutes. Then I did that for several weeks. I was excited to get up to 10 minutes. It wasn't until I'd been doing it for probably 9 or 10 months that I said, I'm going to try 20, right? But on days when I'm like, I get up in the morning, that's the first thing I do. And if I look and go, well, I have to be in a meeting at 5, or like here, it was crazy because my meetings were, I had 5 o'clock in the morning meetings here. I'd get up, I go, okay, I don't have 20 minutes to do it unless I want to get up at 4. I'm going to get up at 5:30. I'm 4:30. I'm going to do it for 5 minutes and then be done with it, right? And if I do it again later, that's good. But at least it gets you on that mode. And if you take your sugar before and after, you'll see a difference. You will, but don't do it so long that you're going, okay, when's this going to be over with? Do it before that point, right?
No, I knew I had a problem when I started having those thoughts.
If it's 8 minutes, if it's 6 minutes, find your sweet spot. Doing it. And when I first started, I did it 3 minutes, and then I go, oh, let me do 3 minutes again later. It counts, right? In fact, with meditation, it is even advantageous to do shorter meditations multiple times a day. Because if you don't, then you end up back into the monkey mind mode until the next day. But even 1 minute, the other day I went, oh my God, I didn't do my meditation this morning because I'd gotten in a meeting and I looked at the thing. I said, oh my God, I only have a minute now. I got to rush out to the store and all this. I did 1 minute. Just so I would make sure I didn't lose my streak, which is at like 367 days now. All right. I don't want to lose that 367 day streak and start to see it go down to zero again. So it becomes a game, right? It becomes a game. So just whatever length of time you have, and they let you set it anywhere from 1 to however many minutes you want. So 10 days.
Okay. Okay?
10 days, at least 3 minutes a day.
Okay.
Okay. The other thing is the heart math. Right? And I know you didn't do well with the little thing.
Yeah.
And I'll use that thing. Just stop. Breathe. Let your shoulders drop. And if you do that, even set an alarm to do it every hour. Do it before you take your supplements, before you eat. Just 2 breaths even make a huge difference. It's all about being conscious of it and shifting some habits, behaviors that you've had for a long time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, and then reschedule the call we were supposed to have last week or yesterday, whatever it was. I think it was yesterday, so that we can go through the supplements and get you going with that. And then, you know, you'll get started again with your calls with Lisa in September, I think.
So on my to-do list is to, which I've been postponing till after this eye thing, was to make an appointment with a primary care doctor. So I think that's going to be one of my next steps here. Very soon, within the next week or so, maybe,
mm-hmm.
To get that going and see if I can get her input on some of these same issues.
Is that the one that you found that seems a little bit?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so then my thought is for my call with you to follow up after I've had some history with her so I can kind of review what's going on there. I've postponed doing more testing, more blood work kind of thing until after, you know, see what she wants to do kind of thing.
Okay.
So that's, anyway, that's kind of my thought process.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does, certainly does. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. No problem. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Good. Thanks.
You're in the right spot. All right. Edie.
Hey. Okay. I'm actually parked now, so I can maybe.
You're good.
A loud video. I'm just sitting in my car.
There you are. Yay.
Hi. Okay. I did get blood work drawn yesterday, which was an accomplishment. My integrative doctor, I drive to Atlanta to see, it's about a 4-hour trip. So I have that scheduled, I think September the 12th. And, let's see if I can hold this phone without blocking the camera. Okay. So anyhow, that's part of my motivation to get all these other tests finished, the GI effects and so forth. I can tell you my blood sugar, I've been checking it about 4 days a week in the morning. It's still high in the morning. It's usually between 105 and 125. And when I first started checking fasting blood sugar, I think in 2012, so maybe 6 years ago, is when I first realized, oh my gosh, even though my hemoglobin A1C is always normal or really good, my morning is high, and it was like 95s then. Well, now it's 105s to 125s, and I've had it high as 140. And so this is something that has come about during 2018, this higher level of blood sugar. And I have gone through periods of really trying to watch my carbohydrate and check it more frequently. And it's crazy because the fasting, it doesn't come down that quickly, but I have been doing like the glucose support by Pure Encapsulations with the chromium polynicotinate and some other things in it, like Gymnema. I was doing 4 of those a day, getting 800 milligrams of chromium that way. It didn't seem to help, actually. So now I've backed off to just the chromium polynicotinate or whatever it's called, because the other was a rather expensive supplement. I did that one for several months.
So when you say it didn't help, are you actually getting in the mode of testing, like for a few days of testing, so you find your peaks and valleys?
I have not gotten scientific. I'll just say that my morning fastings are still high. So
yeah. So here's the thing. Okay. What's happening if you have high morning fastings and you have good normal hemoglobin A1C? My guess is that you've got lots of deep valleys, high peaks, deep valleys, and that's averaging out to a good hemoglobin A1C.
Right.
Which means that then in between, when your sugar goes down and you get the agitated, got to eat something, got to eat it now, doesn't matter what it is, let me just grab for whatever's around, that sort of stuff comes about. I would highly recommend, since you have an integrated doc, you call, don't even wait to go for the appointment. You say, would you be willing to just sign for this? And all you need to do is go to the site where you order it. You order it, you put that guy's name down, or girl's, who is it, woman or man. You put their name down, you give them, you know, their number, they will fax to them, hey, is it okay for Edie to get this? And they will say yes, and then you will get it.
Okay. And yeah. It's called what? What's it called?
It's called the Freestyle Libre.
Okay.
And that way you don't have to deal with the pokes all the time. It's real easy to just anytime just get in the habit of going like that and testing. But even if you don't, up to 12 hours will be stored in the little disc. So when you get home at night, you can go, oh, how did I do today? Whoops. Oh my, I had this big old high. Oh, look, I had a really big low. You'll start to see patterns. And then you can relate what you're doing. It makes it a lot easier. A lot easier.
Okay. And then the other thing just to comment is, you know, I used to have fatigue from travel and whatever, but I could correlate it with my work. But now I've been getting pretty regular sleep. I've not been getting exercise, but I'm just having these really heavy, heavy bouts of fatigue a lot of times. Like today was one of those days.
Is it first thing?
So there's that. It's not first thing in the morning. I usually get up okay. Today it hit me much earlier than usual. It typically doesn't hit until about 3 in the afternoon, and I just start feeling like lead. But today by 10 a.m. I felt weak, like I needed to go lay down weak, you know, and I did have to go sit down for a while. So just not, it could be blood sugar swings.
Like it could mentioned. Be blood sugar swings. And it could be, here's the thing that often happens when the huge stressor goes away, right? The travel, the lack of sleep, and you suddenly start to sleep, your body goes, thank you, that was a good taste, and now I need more. And so you're not running on adrenaline all the time.
Right.
Because before you were running on adrenaline, then you'd crash. Now you're not even running on the adrenaline, which makes, even though you get sleep, you're not going to notice it. It happens a lot. It happens to me when I'm going through this bout of not sleeping and working, and I'm like, I have plenty of energy. Okay, I know I should sleep. Let me go sleep. And then I sleep for 12 hours, and I wake up the next day, I'm like, why would I be tired? I slept for 12 hours. It's crazy because my body was going, yeah, nice. Thank you. Give me some more.
Okay. So it could just be a recovery kind of thing. A
recovery pattern, right? And just keep trusting it and keep sleeping. Because my tendency was like, screw sleep then. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sleep. Why should I sleep? I feel worse. I'm just
so tired. Yeah.
But my mind, you know, my intelligent mind had to say, wait a minute. You got to sleep. Okay. So that's part of it. I also think that being a little bit more scientific and with your travel schedule and all that, tracking your food and tracking your blood sugar and your blood pressure, anything like that, was pretty darn an additional and very difficult and impossible. But I think if you get this meter, then you don't even have to worry about the poking and the prodding and remembering, because even if you forget to do it at the 15 minutes, 30 minutes, et cetera, you can find your peak. And it gives this beautiful graph and you go, whoops, right? And if you do that at the end of the day and you just take a notepad even and go, what did I eat today? What did I eat right around that time? What was happening right around that time? Was I stuck in a traffic jam? Was I visiting my mother-in-law and, you know, dealing with the doctors and not liking what they were saying, right? What was going on? And then you can relate it, as long as you do it, you know, at the end of the day. But you don't have to have track of it all throughout the day, because I know that's challenging when you're busy.
Okay.
Okay. So that's one thing I would do. You know, I think here's the thing, and I hear this a lot from folks. I haven't done anything with ERC. ERC is a program to help you guide your life and give you attitudes and stress. It's not a something that you have to check off every box and finish everything, right? And it's not something you want to make an additional load. If you're working on your health, you're working on the program, because that's what the program really is about, your health, not about doing all this stuff that's in there. Some of the stuff you already know. Some of the stuff you need to spend some time on, right? And that's where we help you to guide you to work on specific sections. Make sense?
Okay. Yeah, so if I'm doing my meditation, then I need to remember I'm not trying to earn a degree here in ERC. I'm just...
No, it's not a degree program. Sorry. Come to NEPT to get the degree. But, you know, it's not a degree program. It's a self-empowerment program. So if you're meditating, you're doing the program. If you're doing any exercise, you're doing the program. If you're eating well, right, you're eating whole foods, plant-based, lots of greens. I mean, you're eating, you're doing the program. If you're having trouble with any of those, then that's the stuff to bring up and let's chat about them. Really, I know I should be eating more greens, but it's so much easier to just grab quinoa and bread, you know, that sort of stuff. That's where we want to help you. But all of these things, it's lifestyle. And it, and if you're working on improving your lifestyle and your habits, you're working the program. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
You are. So with the overwhelming, oh, I got these tests, just like, breathe and go, I'm going to get these tests. I'm going to get them before the September 12th appointment. Maybe you pick one and you do one day. You look at your schedule. What day am I not traveling to help my mother-in-law? What day do I have? Okay, right here I can do this. Because saliva tests are a pain in the butt to do.
Yeah.
Pain in the butt. I have one sitting on my desk literally that I paid for 3 or 4 years ago. And I have this stack of tests I paid for 3 or 4 years ago to do on myself that I haven't done.
And you're in organics, you have to limit your fluids. And so I'm always like, when do I have a day that I can only have 3 cups of water? Never, you know? So, whoops. So that's kind of a pain. But yeah, that's exactly what I need to do. Sit down, schedule them.
Look at your schedule. Schedule it in. If something comes up that makes you move it, just move it. But once it's in your schedule, it becomes a fixed thing that doesn't get ignored. It has to be moved. I always tell people you're not allowed to remove something. Like I put this thing on my calendar, SCT, self-care time. I don't put it on my weekends because I know I'm going to do it then. I know I'm going to do it when I don't have a whole bunch of meetings, but I put it on my days where I have a ton of meetings. And if something comes up that interferes with that, everybody knows to keep that sacred, but if something comes up that I need to do something with that, I'm going to move that SCT time. I'm going to go, okay, when can I do that? Oh, I can do that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I can do that at 9 o'clock at night. I can do it at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning. But it's like making the time, your time, sacred time, just as if it's an appointment with your boss, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I want you to start, so that's your takeaway. That's, for me, what I would like to see you do. Are you willing to do that? Is to go to the schedule and look, okay, I want these tests and I want the results back by September 12th. So when you go to see this functional doc, that you have them. So back it up from there. Okay, the organics takes It's a 24-hour test. It takes them 2 weeks to get back. When's the latest date that I can do it and have it in time? And then
I think I have to have them all in pretty much by, I think, Tuesday in order to make this appointment. But
okay, so put them on your and make it happen, right? Weekend. And make it happen because you are the priority. If you don't have your health and if you don't have your energy, you can't help your mother-in-law, your husband, your kid, whatever, cousin, whoever else is around. You cannot help them without you. And now you've got this test, right? So before it was work that you could blame on everything.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And now it's like, okay, I just need to take responsibility here for fitting me in. It's like that tends to get thrown to the side because of work. You're allowing it to get thrown to the side because of other stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And you are definitely one of the hypervigilants. You're in the club with us because you're so meticulous and you want everything right. And sometimes we just have to go, oh, curious. Huh. I really wanted to do X, Y, Z today. And I didn't. I wonder why. I wonder what got in the way. I wonder how I can do it differently tomorrow.
You know what? Changing gears a little bit. I'd love to hear Debbie's recipe for curing her constipation, because that's something else I've struggled with that. I think that's one of the first things I shared at SIV with you and Lynn was the high fasting blood sugar and constipation, and it's been bad, really bad. So sometimes I think that's why I'm so tired. It's like if I could just go to the bathroom.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's going to be different from person to person.
Yeah.
We can share that. But what I'm going to say to you is some of what we just talked about, where if I could see like a week in the life of Edie, what do you do first thing? What's your blood sugar when you first get up? What's your, how many bowel movements? When are you having your bowel movements? What's the consistency? What exactly are you eating? And of course the supplements, right? So if I could look at that, I may be able to spot at a glance some things. There's some certain things, like certainly the thyroid, right? And you just got your blood work to see where the thyroid's at. How do I stop that? Okay, there. All right, so certainly thyroid has to do with constipation. Not getting enough fluids has to do with constipation. So monitor your fluid intake. Not absorbing your fluids properly can be a problem. What the Chinese medicine calls dry constipation. And that could be a liver thing, like your liver being clogged up. And then it could be, of course, the fiber and eating allergens and getting too much fat versus fiber, that kind of thing, all those things. But also from a supplementation standpoint, right? Magnesium, vitamin C. One of the things that I talked to Debbie, I don't know if you actually put into place with, was Dong Quai, because it's really good for getting the excess estrogens out, the fours and the 16s more, supporting the liver, and also as a result, the bowel. So people think of Dong Quai as a female hormone, hormone generating herb, but in Chinese medicine, it's actually thought about for dry constipation and liver stagnation.
Right. Where do you get that? Is that a pill or a herb that you...
Well, you can get a tincture. You can get powdered Dong Quai, like from Mountain Rose Herbs, and you can add it to a smoothie or elixir. Tincture is probably the easiest and most convenient because you can just carry it in your purse and, take a couple of swigs throughout the day. It's a matter of finding the right dose for you. The right balance of C and magnesium. So the bowel tolerance testing for C and magnesium, like basically start with one. I don't know what level of C you're taking at this point, but say you're taking 2 grams of vitamin C a day. You go, okay, tomorrow I'm going to take 2,500. And the next day I'm going to take 3,000. And you just keep increasing it until you get to the point where you have a really explosive bowel movement, and then you back off a little bit. And you can maintain it at that. And then you do the same with the magnesium. Does that make sense?
Right? Yeah.
Randomly just add vitamin C and magnesium and say, well, that didn't help. But we don't actually keep increasing to get to bowel tolerance dose.
Right. I've gone through where I've just dumped in a bunch of different types of vitamin C, including amla and the rose, oh gosh, cherryola.
Well, I would say the one that I find the most consistent with gradually increasing is going to be like the Perk Buffered. And I want to hear from Debbie which one she found out she could do because she has a very irritated gut. But Lynn has something to say.
I just wanted to speak to the constipation.
Yes.
Because that's the thing that I have dealt with. And the one thing that, and I'm really noticing it over the last maybe week, rehydration drops from energetics. Because when I really started upping my water, it was like all I did was pee. And I'm like, yeah. Okay, something's not right here. So I added in these drops in the water. And I'm
I have some from Jane's Cleanse.
Yes.
How much do you use? How much are you using?
So for every liter, I put in 15 drops.
Okay.
And
okay, I'll try that.
And I'll tell you, I'm not peeing as much, but my bowels are much smoother. I mean, their departure is much smoother.
Yeah, because I pee all day long.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So you're not absorbing it, right? Your cells
exactly.
aren't. Yeah, I love that concept. I love that idea. So making sure you are drinking enough, but also that your body's actually absorbing enough. And the thing, we just put a page up on the site, which is under the discovery section, and it's called home tests. And on there I have the vitamin C, but we have to add the magnesium. That's what's missing. The magnesium load test is not on there. We're still working on that. We're trying to reorganize things and put them in places so that it's easy to find certain things as opposed to buried within the, you know, the vitamin and mineral section of wherever. So we'll put that in there. Because that's important. You can do the both of them, but don't do them at the same time. Do them sequentially and get both of them up to your bowel tolerance load. And then you're going to find that, oh, wow, now I'm pooping too much. And you don't just stop. You just back it off a little bit and a little bit. We're looking to find that sweet spot. The sweet spot comes in all over, right? What is that spot for each of us? That's the right combination. Okay.
Okay, so I would do one at a time. I would do one day and another day?
No, I would do one until you get it up to bowel tolerance.
Okay.
So you're going to keep increasing the C until you get to bowel tolerance. Then you're going to take that dose. So if you take a dose and you get bad diarrhea, you get really loose, then you go back to the day before's dose.
Okay.
And that's what you take consistently. Do that for a few days before you start testing the magnesium just to make sure.
Okay.
But that's the right dose. If you start to get loose, then you just back off a little bit more. And then once you're there, then you get the magnesium up. And the reason I want you to do both, like you say, well, if the constipation's under control, why should I do it? But I still want you at the right dose of magnesium because magnesium controls so many other functions. And the same thing with vitamin C, with collagen repair, with, you know, with hormones, with blood sugar, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you could do the magnesium first and then do the C. Whichever one you prefer, right? But the whole food forms of vitamin C, which I think are much better for us, in general won't create the therapeutic effect the same way.
Okay.
And the goal would be to get it to the point where you don't need the synthetic vitamin C's and the high dose, but what you were trying to do is replenish deficiencies and patterns that have been there for a really long time. Make sense?
Okay.
Good. All right. So, Lynn, if you want to put, I gave you that link in your Skype, put the link to that home test page that we just added, and we'll add the magnesium to that later. Vitamin C is for sure there, but we'll add that to that. It's easy enough to do. All right. Thank you, Edie.
Thank you.
You feel like you got a plan?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Thank you. Sugar and bowels.
Yes. Yeah, just contact his office. And actually, you know, you could either do that
or
just order the thing. And put his name at the bottom as your doctor. Yeah. If you know that they're somebody
could email his admin or whatever.
Yeah, and just say, hey, I'm going to be ordering this. I want to just make sure that when it comes in that you, you know, tell them it's okay and they get approval. And once they do, you can order it again for a year, I think. They give you a whole year's worth of.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So it sounds like it's going to be a financial, pretty big investment. which
it's like $220 to get the whole thing. Okay. And then, you know, you don't have to keep doing it forever, but you want to get, you know, that, and that's the starter kit. So you get the meter plus a month's worth of the patches. This is what it looks like. You just stick it on.
Okay.
Your, and you can, and all you have to do to test is you turn the thing on and you go like that. Now I've got my blood sugar tested.
Okay. Cool.
So easy, right? And I could do it every minute if I want to, right? I can just keep track of it. I could just say, like last night, I actually posted it on the Sweet Spot Facebook page. And I said, okay, I'm doing this experiment. Here's my beautiful picture of fruit. If you want to go out there, you'll see it. And I had up two little slivers of mango and two slivers of pineapple and two slivers of papaya, a little passion fruit in the middle. It's a lot of fruit for me to eat. But I also had a 16-ounce of green smoothie, and I alternated it. It wasn't enough green smoothie, or it was too much fruit or whatever. But I kept posting, oops, it's up to this. Oops, it's up to that. It was, and it got up to 155. So I was like, okay, right, that's not good. So you learn. And I go, okay, that doesn't mean I'm not going to eat fruit anymore. And I'm still here and I have some. I'm going to try it differently, like with a small piece of mango and a big salad and see what happens, right? And just find my sweet spot of how much I can have without it throwing me off. But on here, I could see the thing go. I was at 70 something. I think I was at 70 before I started. Chit, weird, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was higher in the morning than I normally would be because I got high and it was my dinner last night. So, But I found something interesting because once it went up and I was still hungry because that was going to be part of my dinner. I was experimenting and then I was going to have my salad. And I'm like, I'm still hungry. And I'm like, I wonder if I eat a big salad with hemp seeds on it, if that'll bring it down. And it did.
Yay. Okay.
It did. It went down below 100 within like a half an hour of eating that big salad. So there's things that we can learn to do. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So you have it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who do we have next? Debbie. And yeah, Debbie, if you want to share your secret sauce with, I won't count it. It's your time. I'll just wait to start your time until you do that. But it'd be great to know because I want to know for my records too. So your constipation, what actually works for you.
Okay. And like you said, so individual. So, okay. For me, it was, I had been trying different magnesiums, but, and the one that, when I first tried magnesium glycinate. What's it called?
Glycinate?
Yeah. I did that for a couple of years because I liked that it was, I tolerated it well, but it didn't give me the help with constipation. And if I did something like magnesium oxide or one of the really strong ones, it made me too sick. So I didn't know. So I just kept with the one that didn't help the constipation, but at least I could tolerate it. And then I switched to, and this is the one that worked, Seeking Health Optimal Magnesium. I can tolerate it, but it also seems to stimulate bowel movement for me.
What forms are in it?
Okay, so even with my glasses, it's hard to read. Hold on a second. I got a little magnifying thing. I think that means it's time for new glasses.
Probably.
okay. It is 80% dimagnesium malate and 20% magnesium lysinate glycinate chelate or whatever that word is. So, which I, you know, didn't even know that till right now. I just know that I like this brand. I trust that brand a lot. And I needed to try something, you know. Now, if I can only take one at a time or I do start to get a tummy ache, it really starts to work very strong. So I find if I take one with every meal, like three times a day, that's like the key for me. And it's 150 milligrams for one capsule.
Great.
But I also found the right vitamin C. You were mentioning that I've had trouble with my stomach lining. The only vitamin C I was able to tolerate was ester C, but then that did nothing for bowel movements, but I could tolerate it. But then I went to Seeking Health, it's in the fridge, liposomal vitamin C. And that was the ticket. So for me, it's both Seeking Health, liposomal vitamin C, and Optimum Magnesium together. Now, I wish I could say I tried
together
them.
Together at each meal or together throughout the day?
Oh, I have the liposomal 15 minutes before a meal. Mm-hmm. I usually always get it in for breakfast. And then I try to get it in for another meal, you know, when I can remember, like lunch or dinner. Mm-hmm. And
so 2 grams a day, or do you take a half of a serving?
Yeah, so it's only really like 2 grams a day, which I'd like to increase more. It's mostly the challenge for me is it's in the fridge. Like, you know, and so I, you know, have to be in there, and then you're supposed to have it on, you know, not with a meal. So it's mostly just the delivery method. I have to figure out a way of doing it more. So I'd like to increase it. But even when I only do the two, so I probably need more vitamin C, but as far as bowel movements, if the two a day plus three of these magnesium seems to be enough for my body. Granted, I'm small, so it might translate to, you know what I mean, different. I mean, I'm, like right now, I'm like 82 pounds.
Oh, my.
So.
How tall are you?
I'm 5 feet tall.
My, okay. Gonna fatten you up.
So, you know, it could be twice the amount for somebody. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a miracle to me that I found this, you know, I really feel like it's, I mean, it's not a miracle, it's through ERC, but it's like we were talking about, I was guided to ERC through spiritual guidance. So it feels like amazing to find this combination. And I'm really happy with Seeking Health. It seems like for a super uber sensitive person, yeah, I'm doing well with Seeking Health.
That's great.
So
I don't have any additives or fillers or binders in general, except for their DAO, but we won't talk about that right now. But all of their products are pure, and I really like what they do. So, okay, good. Great. All right. So let's look at you getting your focus. So let me just talk a little bit about your 82 pounds, 5'0". You don't eat much.
I do. No, I do. I feel like that's why this year I think maybe I got to put the GI stuff first, because mm-hmm. I feel like even when I do, I feel like I'm really not absorbing. It's like you are what you eat, but you absorb, that whole thing. I don't feel like I'm really assimilating, you know, what I'm eating. And yeah, I just feel like I'm not, it's not going, getting into my body. It's not, and it's so interesting because as we were talking today, and you were talking and different people, I've been reflecting and taking some notes, and I almost feel like I am starting to get clarity just through this call, and that I'm not turning my food into, like, I'm struggling so much with the tendonitis and the injuries and the musculoskeletal. I can't drive. I have a lot of functional limitations. But also it's like I'm not probably turning my food into building blocks for, you know, I've been trying to get stronger and I still keep re-injuring. So I feel like, and then the inflammation problem, that could be related, because maybe I'm having anti-inflammatory foods, but I don't know that I'm really there. I don't know. I feel like GI is probably a big part of this. But
let me ask you this, though. With the constipation, how long have you had that under
your breath? Oh, it was right at the end of ERC. So I'd say like probably like a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think what I'm thinking, too, about inflammation, when you're reabsorbing the toxic residue that's supposed to be going out of you, that's going to be an inflammation in the body. That's going to increase inflammation in the body. So getting rid of that can help. And so I was going to ask if you've noticed any difference in joint pains or any of the inflammatory stuff since the constipation's gotten under control.
I think a little bit. Yeah, I would say a ton, but yes, I think a little bit. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I would like to do, because whether you're overweight or underweight, in general, I find that most people miscalculate when you just do it orally how much they eat. Underweight people tend to think, I eat plenty, I eat way too much, and then you check and they're eating like 600 or 800 calories a day. Overweight people say, I don't eat very much, and when you add it up and it comes together, they're eating 2,500 calories a day. Not across the board, but I'm just saying I've had that experience, because it's deceptive, right, how much to eat, especially since over time, the appetite actually doesn't get to be a really good measure because we don't always just eat when we're hungry. So I'm going to invite you to look into some sort of an online app where you can, for 3 to 5 days, 5 days would be better, 7 days would be even better, but it's pain, but is to get either Chronometer or there's something called fitday.com. I think Chronometer does a better job of it because they give you really nice graphs. And they also do like omega-3 and 6 ratios and all kinds of really cool things. So with the inflammation, I want to see, what are your omega-6 and 3 ratios? Are you getting enough? And are you getting too much omega-6?
Okay.
So that's the thing I would look at. So I like Chronometer. You may have to spend $40 to get the upgraded version to get some really good reports, but I think it's just a one-time. It's not like it's a subscription thing. It's just a one-time thing. And then it would allow you to share those reports with me and with Lisa.
Okay.
Okay? And then you could periodically do it. So you can look at it. We can make an evaluation, give you some suggestions. You make some changes, and then you can do it again and see how it's looking. And it also gives you, for each of the nutrients, and it goes really detailed. It's the most detailed one I've seen, is how much is your target? And I think you can set that in there for that nutrient and how close you come, right? So we want the diet to at least be covering our daily requirements. And when I look at those for a lot of people, it's like, whoa, they're not even coming close on certain nutrients, right? So I would really recommend that you do that because it gives us an idea of how we can monitor. And if you're feeling like, but I'm full at every meal, but it looks like, well, honey, you're only eating 800 calories a day. No wonder you can't gain weight, right? Mm-hmm. Then we can look at how do we increase that without you feeling like you're overstuffed.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And with getting the best balance in those calories, right? So I think it would be really, really helpful for you overall to do.
Okay.
Okay. In fact, I want to make, Lynn, if you could make a note of it, I would like to put a link to that in the nutrient modules, and maybe even see if we can talk to them about getting some kind of, you know, special deal. I think Mercola does that, where he has it kind of branded to his program, maybe because he has a gazillion people and we only have 40 something, but to see if that's something that we could do. And even if not, just to be able to put that link in there so people have it, because I really think it's important. Actually, it should be on that home, that new home page, that home testing page, because it's a tracking. And we have blood sugar tracking, we have blood pressure tracking. Let's add it to that page. All right, and we'll have a call. I'm planning to have a call that's just geared towards home testing, stuff that you can do and monitor at home, and we'll go through all that. But that's what I'd like your takeaway to be.
Okay. Can I ask you a question? Because it'll be, as far as the foods I'm going to be ingesting and writing down. I have a few, like I'm still kind of figuring out my food plan really is. Mm-hmm. Mostly because I do have trouble with food prep, with arm challenges and shopping and all that. And lately I've just been eating kind of not my normal healthy diet just because I can buy it, it's made, excuse me, and I can eat it. But do you have any kind of general guidelines as far as something that would be easily digested in types of foods, easily digested and assimilated, not take a whole lot of arm prep?
Prep.
And kind of, I don't know how to say this, like I'm very vata, you know, in my Ayurvedic. So I also need to kind of be warming and kind of, you know what I mean? So, I'd love to just do salads and because that's easy. I don't have to prep it and just green drinks, buy green juices, but I get, you know, cold and I lose weight so easy.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I know it's a lot to ask, but I'm just trying to.
No, there's a few things that come to mind. You do live in LA?
No, I'm in Santa Barbara, but like I'm an hour and a half from LA.
Okay. I was just thinking, no, it's too far. Like there's a store called Erewhon, which has an amazing array of pre-made, like you can go in and get all kinds of amazing, healthy pre-made foods there, but that's impractical to do that every day to go get your dinner.
Okay.
Every 3 days to go get your dinner. But I think that some of the stuff that would be really good is you can just steam up some veggies. That doesn't take any prep. Even if you don't want to do even a little bit of chopping, you can always get pre-chopped veggies, right? You can get broccoli slaw pieces. You can get little cauliflower rice. Trader Joe's has frozen cauliflower rice. So you just get it. It's already in the frozen thing and you just warm it up and then you can make a sauce. The sauces are going to be really important for you because the sauces are going to give you a good source of calories. And we'll talk about making the sauces very digestible, but also you're able to put the warming herbs in there. Now, because of your sensitivities, you'll have to figure out which of the warming herbs are going to be helpful. But what comes to mind is curry type things.
Yeah.
Right? You do well with curry type things? Yeah, with the ginger and the turmeric and the cumin and those kinds of things, right? So, like, you buy a bag of cauliflower rice and you put it in your steamer basket and you warm it up. And then you take your blender. Make sure you have a blender because if you're having trouble chopping, you need a blender. You put in some tahini or I wouldn't do mac nuts. They're probably more cooling because they come from a tropical place. But more like almonds, sesame seeds, hemp seeds. Hemp seeds are really good. Brazil nuts, pumpkin seeds. And figure out any combination of them. You soak them, you rinse them, and you put them in the blender with water. You can put them in there if you want a warm sauce. Just warm the water up before you put it in. I wouldn't boil it, but warm it before you put it in there. And then add your warming spices. And we've got tons of recipes in the various recipe guides that you can use as a guideline, as a starting point. But for me, it's like throw it in the blender, blend it on up, and now you have this amazing sauce to throw over your cauliflower rice or your greens. Steam them and just add this to it. You don't have to do any fancy chopping.
Do you think I have a little mini food processor, those little mini prep. Do you think it would work in one of those?
Absolutely. You can get whole cauliflower and you'll have to just do a little bit at a time. I could put a whole hen in mine because I have a huge one, but you have a small one, figure out how much you can put in at a time. You turn it on 30 seconds later, you pour it into a bowl, then you put the rest and you take as much as you want. You can do it with any veggie. You can turn it into rice, right? By getting it in the food processor in those little pieces, zucchini, greens. Put the greens in. I like to make the veggies in there into confetti. And you put it with lots of the different veggies and then you get your variety of greens. You can lightly steam it once it's chopped I would chop that, put it in a steamer or a pot and just like very lightly cook it. It's going to warm it up. It's going to break down the cellulose. And then you put on your sauce.
Can I do the sauce though in the food processor too?
You could. It'll be a chunkier sauce. That's all. It just won't be super smooth.
Actually, because that's how I make mine. And I have a little mini. Somebody many, many years ago gifted me with their little Cuisinart, that little personal one. Yeah. And as a kapha person who needs more of those warming foods, I make ginger tea. And because I do a sauce almost exactly like you're saying, I'll put a little lemon juice.
Yes.
But then I usually put in some ginger as well.
Ginger, totally.
Yeah, totally ginger. And maybe some garlic or...
Very warming. Cayenne, if you tolerate it, you may not tolerate it with your stomach.
Yeah, that's the only one I can't do in the curry, so I make my own mixture because then I can leave the cayenne out.
Leave the cayenne out. Yeah, and you can do varieties of different ones. You'd vary the nut. Maybe you make enough for 2 or 3 days in one batch, and then you make another batch that's slightly different nuts and seeds variation, so you're getting a wide variety of nutrients, and then you can make it taste different. The Italian herbs are very warming, right? Oregano, garlic, rosemary, and they're also very healing, right? So every time you have one of these, you're getting just an amazing array of stuff. And if you just lightly steam them, right, you chop them and lightly steam them, you're not going to lose as much of the enzymatic and the nutrients as you would, and you're going to keep the warming going.
Okay, if I boil them with a little water and then I just drink the water, is that another way? Because that tends
to be... great. You can take the water and then you can put that in the blender or the food processor. So here's one that I do. I put them in a pot. I cook up the veggies and then I will take the soak water. I put it in the blender. I put in, like if I'm making Thai or if I'm making Italian or Mexican, some sort of fat, whatever that fat is, and then my seasonings, a little bit of salt, and blend that up, and then I pour it over the veggies, or I take part of the veggies out. And especially this is really good in the winter. I'll take like maybe 3/4 of the veggies I take out and put them in the blender, food processor, put it with the water, add the seasonings, and I make this really nice creamy soup that's really easy to eat and digest. And then I can pour it over the remaining whole veggies or not. Sometimes I just don't want to eat it. I don't want to chew it. I just make it into a creamy soup. Lynn's had it. I've made it when you've been there. Everybody I know is, comes to the house, and Scott likes to make it. I like to make it. And it's like quick and easy and filling and oh,
extremely
delicious.
Delicious. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could live off that.
Yeah. You would probably want to not use too much of things like coconut because it's, again, the tropical stuff is going to be more cooling. But a little bit of that mixed in with the rest of it is fine.
I don't know why I don't. I love the taste of coconut. I don't know why I don't digest it very well. Maybe in time I will, but it tends to, like, you know, I burp it and I feel not so good after, but.
And maybe your body's saying this is too cooling. Stay away. You know what I mean?
Or it could be fat malabsorption. And I say that only because I have the permission.
It could be. And here's what you can do with those nuts and seeds when you do it. Get an enzyme with lipase in it.
Okay.
Right? When you soak them, you tend to germinate them and break it down and you're able to digest it a little bit better. But even to just help it along, get an enzyme that's lipase, open it up, and pour it in the blender when you're blending up and making your sauce. And that's going to break down those fats for you.
Oh, you can put it into this. You can.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I would do it at the end. Like, you don't want to heat them too much. Yeah. But once you've got the sauce made, then at the end, just pour it in. Same way we do with, like, when we're making yogurt with the probiotic. You put it in at the end so you don't whip it around too much and degrade it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Cause that's part of, I think, the weight thing is I try to do all these fats, but I don't think I'm really digesting.
Not digesting. And then it causes some strain and stress and aggravate. Yeah. So try that. The soaking super important for you. They're all a little bit different. We have that soak chart somewhere. Where do we have the soak chart? Is that in the Sweet Spot booklet? Do we have, I think it might be in the Sweet Spot recipe guide. There's
maybe grand. It might be in grand. Both grand, but for sure grand.
Both. Okay. And then we have a sprouting chart. And so if you're using cashews, for example, which again are more tropical, so maybe not the best for you, the cashews in Max, you don't want to soak for more than 4 hours because they turn to this yucky mush. But almonds and Brazil nuts and sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds, you can just leave them overnight and soak them. And while they're soaking, make sure you rinse them real well. They're just releasing and they're helping to break down the fats and the proteins in there. And it makes it so much easier to digest.
Do you soak them in the fridge or on the counter?
I soak them on the counter with a cover. So if it's summertime, in the wintertime, I'm not as careful. So what I do is I'll put them in a bowl. Two ways I do it. I'll put them in a bowl and then I put enough water to cover and I put a plate over the top of the bowl. Just to keep things from getting in. So you don't want an airtight necessarily. Or sometimes I do put them in a mason jar, like a, one of these kind of jars with the lid. And I put that on and I just soak them in that.
Okay.
I have had, one of the reasons I started covering them is I had critters eat them once. I had them on the counter in a bowl. And the next day I'm like, did somebody eat my almonds before they got finished soaking? And they were like, just a handful left. That's really weird. Nobody said they did. So I went and did it again the next day and I had Brazil nuts in there. And the next thing, they're almost all gone. And like, there must be a critter. So I put a trail, like I put some flour or something around it I put on a baking dish and I put something on it to see if I could see like little footprints in it. Mm-hmm. Nothing, but they were gone again the next day. Never figured out who it was, what was taking them. I started covering everything. This is funny. So years later, I'm in my bedroom and I knit. I used to knit. I don't do it quite as much. And I had these knitting balls that I won this beautiful basket of knitting supplies at a Waldorf fair. And it had like there was these little it's almost like a little spool and the yarn's all wrapped. But at the top, there's just like a little paper thing. And I picked up one of those yarns. I was going to knit with it. And I picked it up and it shook like a tambourine or a, what do they call, maraca. Like, the heck? So I pull off the paper and in there were partially eaten soaked almonds. Not only did, it must have been a squirrel, because what other animal gets stuff, doesn't eat it, goes and hides it somewhere? And it was in my bedroom, and my kitchen's on the other end of the house. Now, how did I sleep through this critter walking across my bedroom, hiding it in this knitting basket, and then leaving? So it gets even funnier. Over time, over the next few months, and actually as this was years ago, I just found some more of these. I'm in my office and I open up the drawer. This is upstairs. Kitchen's downstairs. I open up the drawer to take some stuff out and I'm digging in and looking for what I was looking for. And I'm like, again, more of those little nuts in that drawer. And then one day I was looking for something in the, under the stove. There's a cabinet, you know, we put pots and pans and stuff. And I was looking for a particular lid and it must have fallen behind. I'm looking and there's another handful of these. Throughout my house over the last 3 or 4 years, this literally happened. It was 8 years ago. 2008. So that's 8 years ago, right? 2008. I know for a fact because my brother was living in town at that point. He moved out in Austin, out of Austin in 2008. So 8 years ago, and still, as of not too long ago, a few months ago, I found some more of these all over. All right, so that's why I cover them. I don't want critters getting in and stealing my nuts anymore.
Do you have pack rats in Texas?
Pack rats? I don't know. Is there such a thing? I thought I call my husband a pack rat.
I used to be the cook at a theater camp in South Dakota, and we had pack rats. And that's what they do. They would take things and they would carry them off. And I would find forks and things. Oh yeah. It's not just little nuts and seeds they take. They took, they're about this big and they're cute. They're really cute. And they have these long tails with these little bushy things sticking out. They're just actually adorable, but. So
So anyway, cover them. In answer, I'm sorry, that was a long answer, quick question, but cover them for sure. All right, so you're good. You're going to do some Chronometer or fitday.com. It's free, but it's not as detailed, so I highly recommend the Chronometer. I don't have stock in it. I don't get any kickback from it, but I really like the reports that people are giving me from it.
Okay, I'm going to do that. And thank you for the food suggestions because it's just, you know, I'm going to give all that a try. So,
okay, good.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so we're going to go on to Pat. All right. Pat, you're up. Okay, so you mentioned to me your celebration was your blood pressure went down, that you stopped your blood pressure medicine by accident and you're still having good numbers.
I mean, they're not perfect, but they're okay. I want it lower.
You want it to be better, yes. Yeah. So again, I highly recommend, because you're one, you know, some people are really good and they're meticulous and they keep taking their stuff and other people just fall off because they don't have it. This is something that you can do because you live in Texas and I know you well because we've worked together for many years. Put my name there. Put my name on the form and give them my address and I'll sign for it for you.
So go to the link or to the...
Go to, there's a place called Edwards is where I ordered for, Edwards Healthcare. And look for the Freestyle Libre and order the starter pack. They know us by now because they, you know, we've had several people in Texas, our patients in Texas calling in and getting them. So I'm a good supplier for them.
Is it the new one that goes for 14 days or is this the 10 days?
I don't know if they have it yet. So go there and see if they have it. If they don't, ask them when the new one is going to be coming out. Okay. And if not, yeah, so wait for it. Yep. I forgot about that.
So that's something I want to do. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then you don't have to worry that you were at work all day and you're running around like a maniac and, oh, I forgot to test my blood sugar. You just go and you click it and you go, boom. Oh, wow. Look what happened.
It shows from the whole day. Yeah, that's great.
12 hours. Maybe the new ones are 10, you know, 8 to 10. But I know when I got this, it said 12 hours will be stored on this little just, so you have to at least test it every 12 hours because it downloads the information to this.
Wow.
This thing makes it download whatever is new onto my form.
It'll be interesting to see what happens in the middle of the night when I wake up for what I think is no reason.
Yes, that's a really good thing to be looking at.
I have no idea.
Right? You don't know. And maybe it's because your blood sugar is dropping. Maybe it's because your blood sugar is spiking. Either way, that's going to give us good information.
I think I remembered to wake up once and take my blood sugar after waking up. And it was...
Yeah, and if all you had to do to test your blood sugar was, I'm woken up.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And you don't even have to look at it then, right?
Yeah.
You can do that and then see what it was. Later. Now, the graph will show you, it doesn't show you the exact numbers. So if you do wake up, it's good to do it. But if you forget, you'll have a range because you'll set your little, the band of low to high. Ooh. Like I set it as max of 110. Because I don't want it to go above 110. And I put the low at 70 because that's the lowest they let me put it at. I would have put it at 60. But actually better to put it at 70 because I like it when it goes in the 60. So I get little red dips. And then I go, oh, okay, good. I'm in my target zone, really? My goal is to keep it between 60 and 90. But I put it at 110 while I'm working on it because I had it at 90, 95, and I was going above it. I'm like, I can't tell where it is exactly. So I've got it at the 110, so I know that it's within the range that I teach in Sweet Spot. Okay? So I would definitely get that. Okay. I think you really enjoy it a lot. And you have the ketone meter, right? You said you had the Keto Mojo. Are you testing ketones at all?
No.
Okay.
I just got
it for the glucose. Did it come with or did you order?
It gave me a few.
Okay. Okay.
But I can get more. You know.
Can always get more. They sell them on Amazon now. Yay. I used to have to go to their separate site. Now I can just go to Prime and get them. But I would do that and start testing that morning and night.
Ketones?
Ketones. Yep. And that's a blood pricks, but you only have to do it morning and night. So first thing when you wake up and last thing before you go to bed. And let's just see what that pattern is. And that way when we get together for some of our one-on-ones, we can actually go through all these things and I can really hone in on where you need to be going with.
And I just finished the Dutch test. They're drying all over the house for at least 24 hours, right?
I think so. I don't remember.
So I want to make sure they're dry before I send them off. Right?
Send them. And then you will get that result probably 3 weeks. Use the link. I'm going to post up the links and I just created some emails last night to start sending out. But you've got the links. I'm going to have a page on the site for gold and a gold plus page, and you'll have the links to that because you get the interpretation session for that. You get the interpretation session for the 23andMe. Plus you get the 4 quarterlies and you haven't taken any of them from last year. So we're carrying them over to this year. Plus you get the lab analysis. So you've got 7 calls with me plus whatever else with Steph. Yeah. Okay. And it'll help both of us to have great information to help support you.
Cool. Okay. I still have, my body still aches a lot. One of the things we're trying to figure out is inflammation with that. And,
okay, so have you ever done a blood spot fatty acid or recently done a blood spot fatty acid or the NutriVal? NutriVal is an expensive test, like $600, but the blood spot fatty acid is like $150. The NutriVal has the blood spot plus others. It has the organic acids plus the fatty acids plus the nutrients. But for inflammation, the organic acids and the blood spot would be really good to see what's going on there.
So what's the other one besides the blood spot?
It's called NutriVal, NutriEval. And it is on our page, our lab testing page.
NutriVal?
NutriEval, right?
Yeah, NutriEval.
Oh, NutriEval. Yeah. But I think those would be good, one of those, at least the inflammation to see what your omega 6 and 3 ratios are like. Okay. Because I think that we want to get to the heart of what it is. Now, on your regular blood test, when was the last time you had a regular blood test?
I think it might have been March or May.
Okay.
So that is in, it's plugged into the download thing.
Okay, so it's in your health tracker. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so before we speak, I am going to look at that, and I'm going to see if there's any inflammation markers that you can do in the blood are missing, and we'll talk about that. Have you ever had the advanced lipid, the advanced cardio profile?
The advanced what?
The advanced cardiovascular profile. Were you on that two-day live stream we did when Dr. Alan Hopkins spoke?
With the cardio, I should know.
Yeah, that would be a good one for you to listen to.
What was his name?
Alan Hopkins. He just talked about that because, you know, of the AFib and because of the blood pressure. I think it would be good to get that testing done because it gives you not just like a cholesterol.
He's in Texas.
Texas, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I was on that. Yes.
Yeah. And okay, so that's a good one to, that's a good test to get. And he's still got a discount up for us. So if you go up there.
He does. Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah. But I think that's a good one to have because the cardiovascular test gives us cholesterol, HDL, LDL. This one gives you all the different fractions of the LDL. Some of them are more dangerous than others, and some of them are more protective. Same thing with the LDL, HDL, and then it also gives VLDL and a few other things. So it's a good test to do.
Okay.
Okay.
So right now I'm taking Mercola's liposomal C 3 times a day, morning, noon, and before I go to bed. And I've noticed improvements in my skin a little bit. And I didn't think I was noticing anything, but there's this thing on my right eye. It's a, you can't really see it. It's a, I call it a divots, a little divots. And it's like my eyelid goes like that. And there was this part where the eyelash kind of poked up and stuck me in the eye. Oh. And then the eyelash came off and so did some of the little skin with it. And then there's a little divots, I call it. And it was there. And then.
So like a skin tag, like a little, like a hanging piece of flesh.
The flesh kind of went up, but then one day it fell off. Oh. And then when it was gone, it left a little divot.
A little divot. Okay. Well, that's so a good, because you got rid of something that the body didn't need and it was deep.
Maybe. And so, anyway, it filled. That's been filling in.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know if that's collagen or what's on the eyelid thing there, but I thought, oh, this C I'm taking, it's not doing any, I don't notice anything. I'm taking it so that my collagen's, you know, I'm not loose skinned and not whatever. And then I noticed that started filling up. I don't know how to describe, but it's less dipped. Yeah. Not as dipped as much. So I didn't know if I'm taking 3,000, but it's liposomal, would that, should I take, I mean, tolerance wise, that's not going to make a difference, is it? Or if I take more, or is 3,000
fine? No, usually you can take larger doses. Liposomal is much more effective than any other kind. So 3 grams of liposomal might be equivalent to 10 grams of some other, you know, powdered buffered C.
Oh.
So it's a good thing to do.
Okay.
I always tell people take as much liposomal as you can afford because it's expensive, right? It's $1 a gram. So, you know, getting into the 10 grams of liposomal a day, that's $10 a day, $300 a month just for your vitamin C. That's a pretty hefty habit. We just did a vital if you want to make some. I don't know if you want to do that, but we just did a vital health community call last month, or this month. It's August, right? So beginning of August, Drina, one of our nutrition coaches in ERC, led it, and she taught how to make it yourself so you could take much larger doses for pennies on the dollar.
How to make liposomal C?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and she told a couple of stories on that call of different patients of hers that she did that with, and some of the amazing changes that she saw when they could actually get up to the higher doses. There's a lot written about how, you know, if you have a bad cold coming on, it's equivalent to taking the IV vitamin C. If you get 10 to 15 to 20 grams of liposomal for a couple of days, it'll knock pretty much anything out of you, like an IV would.
Wow. And this is on the Vital Community video.
Vital Community, just August. Last month. Now, we just made it easier for you guys to find stuff on the site. If you go into ERC, just go to ERC dashboard, pretty much everything is going to be accessible from there. Pretty much everything. So there's a link to the blood glucose testing page. There's a link to the lab testing page. There's a link to the Vital Community. There's a link to all the ebooks. There's a link to all the video, and everything is kind of there. There's stuff in the top part, which is the core ERC stuff. The second part says bonuses. The third part says programs, and that's the grand and sweet spot. And then the fourth part is elite bonuses, which is anybody that's returning has a, or elite programs, and there's seven of them there. We made sure everything is accessible, and the more I think about it as I go through as a user, I'm like, I don't want to have to go here and then there to find this. I want it all to be accessible from there. So we're trying to make the accessibility features this year a whole lot better.
Okay.
So yeah, so just go on that page, click on Vital. Click on Vital, and then you'll be able to see, get in there and see the recordings from the three different places, and you just click it. So it may make it much easier for you to find.
Yeah, it, and it's in your call recording section too.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we also put it in the general call recording session. So we're making a lot of cross-references to make it easier for you guys to find stuff wherever you are.
Okay. So ketones, the
ketometer, yeah, start doing it. If you have it, order some strips. I'll send you my, you know what, I'm just going to put my chart on. I'm going to put it accessible to the whole group. I'll think about where it should be and I'll let you guys know. But I have a chart that I've been using myself. It's a Google sheet. And I have it on my phone. So all I do is I click, I go to the place where it says sheets, I click on my sheet, and I just put my numbers in as I get them. So it makes it really easy. So if you do that and you download the app, and they have it on both Androids and iPhones. So either way, you download the app for Google Sheets. And all I have to do is, I don't know if you can see it, I click here. And then kind of comes up on my phone and I put in it has a column. If you have multiple meters, like if you're using, I have the Ketone Mojo as well as the Keto Mojo for glucose. Because if something happens, like there's a time when I ran out of one of these or so, there was a gap of like 5 days I was away and I forgot to take the refill with me. So I didn't have it. So I was doing the Keto Mojo and I just have a place for there for multiple meters. So I'll share that with you guys. I'll figure out where it goes. And that'll be good. So keep track of your ketones first thing in the morning and last thing at night. And then order one of these, but at least keep track of your first thing in the morning and last thing at night glucose. Because a lot of times what happens is people say, well, I'm high in the morning. What are you at night? I want to know, is it high at night and then it stays high throughout the night and it's high in the morning? Or is it back down to baseline at night before you go to bed and then it's high in the morning or vice versa? You know what I mean? Because they're totally different ways to analyze. Are you going up during the night? Well, then I'm looking for a stressor during the night. If you're high to begin with, when you go to bed and it's high in the morning, well, then I want to look at what are you doing in the evening and what are you doing at that last meal to make it go up? And are you, maybe it's EMFs. Some people are super sensitive to EMFs. And they're like sitting at the computer until they go to bed. They're taking their iPad to bed and they're watching stuff. That can be raising your blood glucose. And you don't even know if you're not testing your last thing at night. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, I know with one of our people, she took the iPad out of her room. She realized that she had all this electronics. She was charging this and charging that. And she just threw it out of the room, her bedroom overnight, and her fasting blood sugar went down. Okay?
Yep.
Yeah. And again, going back to serenity prayer, something you can't control. Like if you have a smart meter and you live in an apartment, and the smart meter is close by and that's creating the EMF stress, you can't necessarily control that other than you get on the phone, you try to get them to take it out. But some of it you can't control. Maybe you can rearrange your bedroom, whatever. And some of it you can, right? You can keep your electronics out of the bedroom. You can, you know, unplug those alarm clocks with the big LED lights on it. There's all kinds of things you can do to create a safe environment. But if we don't know, you know, we don't know and we can't.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Good. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Karen. Here we go. Timer. Okay, good. All right, Karen. So from my notes, it looks like, I mean, first of all, congratulations on all the great stuff you've been doing. I'm thrilled to see you putting all this into place and also to hear you say how well it feels. I know some of the calls you've been on, it's been like, you know, there's just so much going on, and to see you moving in that direction is like phenomenal. But I want to hear about this knee thing, because that, if you don't get that under control, that's going to impact your ability to continue to exercise or getting on your bike or whatever, right? So tell me a little bit more about that. Like you said, it started after you started doing weight bearings. Have you ever had a knee injury in the past? Oh, you're muted. Unmute yourself.
Years and years ago in college, I had a car accident where both of my knees were bruised. But that's really about it. Yeah, and my knees seemed to be fine when I first started. And then we started doing a bunch of squats. And they got a little sore, but they didn't seem too bad. And then, I don't know, the last couple months they've been sore. And they got really bad the last week or so when I tried to go back to doing machines a little bit, because I realize sometimes you can get knee pain because your quads are not, you know, you need to strengthen your quadriceps. But I think I did more damage doing that. So now that I haven't been doing the machines, then they've gotten better, but they're still sore. So
tell me about the soreness. Like, is it both of them equally? Where on the knee is it located?
Yeah, so it's both of them. Sometimes it's one a little bit more than the other, but it's pretty much both. And standing and walking's fine. I can walk on the treadmill. It's all fine. It's more if I'm doing weight bearing, like a squat, or even if I'm almost seated, then that's where it really hurts. And then getting up from being seated. So you can see where that would hurt with like a squat too.
Right. What about stairs? Do stairs affect it?
Sometimes. Yeah. And then, so when they're really sore, the stairs will be affected, but it's pretty much the bottom of your thigh, right above the top of your knee. It's not right. Really the joints.
Okay. So I want you to poke along there, right? So go right into the middle of your kneecap. And then get your finger above that and just start rubbing perpendicular. So if the knee, this is your knee, you're going to go back and forth. I just want you to see if you find a spot that's tender.
Right above the kneecap?
Yeah, so just above the kneecap, start in the middle and go off to the right and then go off to the left and see if you find any tender spots in there. We're kind of like looking, there's tendons that come and attach into the kneecap.
Yeah, but do it with my legs straight or bent?
Both. I try it, however, do it with your knee leg straight, do it with it bent, see if you find any spots. And if you do,
I know, it's kind of crazy, really. When they were really sore, it was sore like up just at the top of the kneecap.
Right.
But I'm not really finding a whole lot right now.
Okay. All
right. But yet,
what is the lateral part? Like if you go above it, but go out, if you notice, if you go out towards the outside of the knee,
okay,
above the kneecap, you'll feel some tendons there.
Yeah.
If either of those, there's one big, really thick one that's the furthest out. And then as you come in a little bit, furthest out one is more the IT band, and the one inner more is more the lateral quadricep muscle.
That IT band can be painful.
Yeah. but no specific tender spots. Okay. Now go to the inside. Go to the inside part, because that's the smallest one. It's called the vastus medialis. It's the medial part of the quad, and that one tends to be the weak link when we have knee pain. Let's see if there's a tender spot in there. Like minor tender. Oh my God, I didn't even know minor tender. I did 8th grade of running on the beach.
Well, maybe a little bit.
Okay. All right, so there's a couple of things. And then go around, just poke around on the kneecap and then slightly below it, because the kneecap then attaches down below to the bone. And that could be related as well. Doesn't look like.
Okay. No.
All right. So it's unlike, I just ruled out a whole bunch of things. So that's good. All right. So here's a couple of things. One is oftentimes strengthening, not getting on a weight machine to strengthen the whole quad. Because the problem often is that the middle part of the quad, the big thick part, uh-huh. is strong enough, but the outer and the inner, most likely the inner, are weaker.
Okay.
That's like the weak link. And when you put a strain on it. So what I would do is go ahead and I'll just write down medial quad exercises, and I'll come back to that. Because using exercise bands can be very, very helpful, because you can isolate it. And there's lots of, on Google, there's lots and lots of places where you can find just showing you some of that stuff.
Okay.
All right, so that's something. But I want to know also with your quad, with your squats, is the trainer watching you to make sure you're doing the squats properly?
Yeah, I actually took a Women on Weights 8-week class with a physical exercise physiologist person. So she was really good about, you know, make sure you're keeping your knees straight, make sure you're keeping
That's a lot that people do. They turn their knees out and, yeah, there's – okay. So it's unlikely to be that it's poor – posture when you're doing it, if you've had a professional look at it. But that's an important piece of it. My guess is that there's some weakness in those outer and inner quads, and very common. So there's a couple of ways you can do it without the exercise bands. One exercise that you can do is you're going to, you can lay down or sit down with your legs straight, but you're going to put a sock, like a rolled up pair of socks underneath your knee. And then the exercise you're going to do is straightening out your leg. So it's going to cause your knee to bend a little bit. And what you want to do is use the quad, and it's that last 15 degrees of extension that exercises that inner part, the medial part that gets weak. And so when you do that, you're forcing that, just that last little bit of degrees, to try to strengthen it. Straighten it with that little sock or whatever underneath it. And you do that about 15 times. And you can do it on one leg, then you can switch to the other, and you can go back and forth and do 3 reps on each one.
Okay.
Do it just 1 rep on each time first. You know, I'm always a matter of, even whether it's supplements or exercises, that you go slowly and see how it goes for you. Yeah. It may feel a little sore, but it shouldn't feel painful. If that works out, then the other thing you can do is you get these exercise bands, and it could be the ones that are like, they're almost like these flat, or you can get the ones that are tubular. Either one will work. Okay. And you wrap around your ankle. And then, so let's envision, like, this is my ankle, and I wrap the band around it, and then I've got the long part of the strap, and I'm sitting in a chair. And so this part's going around, and the piece that comes out, the length, the tail, yep. comes out behind you, like right behind, right at your Achilles tendon, and goes back. And then you can either tie it to the leg of the chair. You can sit the chair in front of a door and make a knot in it and put it under. Some of the bands come, sometimes you can get sets that have these little attachment things that have a little weight in it, and you could put it under the door. They're meant for that. So you're going to sit in front of the door. Let me see if I can show you. All right. So if I'm sitting, If I'm sitting in the chair, no, let me get this closer to the edge and see if we can do this. Can't. No, I can't. I can't seem to do it. I actually like sitting over here better. So what happens is you're going to be sitting there in the chair, and you're going to bring your leg up to, I'm going to demonstrate with my arm. So I'm in the chair. This is my knee. This is my ankle.
Yep.
And you're sitting like this. You're going to bring it up to about 45 degrees. Mm-hmm. And then you're just going to, you're going to feel the tension, and you can adjust that tension. Start with it light, and then you can increase it. And you're going to be turning your foot inward.
Okay.
And then lifting in that last 15 degrees.
Okay.
And if you go on online and you look up tubing exercises, lateral quad, I mean medial quad. Okay. All right. It'll show you exactly how to do it. Plenty of stuff online with that.
All right.
Some of the little sets that you can get for like $10 on Amazon come with a little sheet that gives you a lot of these exercises. Right. But really work on strengthening that. I think doing, the reason it probably got worse when you went on the machines is because the machines don't isolate the lateral or the medial. They just work the middle one. So it actually made the imbalance between the strong quad in the middle and that. And when we walk and, you know, all the various exercises you describe, you're not really working those, that inner and outer part, because it's the last 15 degrees of extension. And we rarely do that. We don't really extend fully like that.
You know, and it's not just extension. There's more pain really where at like 45 degrees where I'm like lowering to sit down or getting up. But like extended, there's not a lot of discomfort.
Right, because it's weak there because those muscles are weaker. And that's when you're aggravating it. So if you're bending down like this, when you're at that angle, uh-huh, that's when those muscles need to be working.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's when those muscles need to be strong. And when they're not, they're going to be called upon in that. When you're fully extended, you don't need those at all.
Right. Okay.
Middle one. It's when it's bent that you need them.
All right.
Okay. So if you just do it in that last 45 degrees, right, then you're not really pulling in the middle quad, because you don't want to strengthen the middle one. And if you turn your ankle in and then do another set with the ankle turned out, that's going to accentuate those inner and outer ones.
Okay.
Now, from a systemic point of view, if there's, you know, anytime there's inflammation in the body, I find that juicing ginger can be super helpful. So you juice, you get a big old hunk of ginger and you juice it. If you don't have a juicer, you put it in the blender with water, and then you strain off the pulp and you just use the liquid.
Okay.
And you can take it every couple of hours. You can make a ginger lemonade even.
Mm, put it in
some lemon and just drink that. I had a guy that one of the first times I saw the magic of this, I mean, I knew how good it was, but not so much so from symptomatic relief. I'm looking at long-term. I have two different stories. One guy who I told, he had some back pain and we were working on his back, and I said, just start to use some ginger juice and, you know, do it two or three times a day. And he did. And he said, you know what? He goes, I'm doing it every 2 hours. Because what I noticed was that my back pain got better. And then about 2 hours later, or a little past 2 hours, it started to come back. So if I do it every 2 hours, it keeps it away. Another guy, older gentleman, he was like, he was in his 70s, and he had heard me speak at a senior center that I was at, and I told about ginger juice, and he'd been on ibuprofen for wrist pain, like arthritic stuff, for like 15 years every day, and you know what that is. That's not really good for your stomach or for a lot of things, right? So he heard me speak, and he went and tried the ginger, and within 3 days, he was off his ibuprofen.
Wow.
So it's really, really effective. And you can add turmeric to it if you want to. If you can get it, I know you probably, where do you live again? You live in Colorado?
Raleigh, Durham area. We have turmeric. We can get turmeric.
You can get the fresh turmeric and blend that up. The turmeric doesn't taste quite as good as the ginger, although I'm getting used to it. But you can add the fresh turmeric to it as well.
Okay. So the juice you just add to some sort of liquid until you can tolerate, or you add water?
You don't want to overdo it. I overdid it once and then had to dose myself with slippery elm because it hurt my stomach. So people like Debbie, you need to be careful because you've got the sensitive stomach. But so start with like a quarter teaspoon of ginger juice. Okay. To however much water you want, and then play with it until you get your dose. I was like, oh yeah, I'm just going to dose this up. And I think I just like, it was half and half ginger juice and water. And within like 15 minutes, I was like, oh, my tummy didn't like that. It was too strong. Yeah. If that happens, slippery elm works wonders. Okay. Wonders. I mean, literally, you just put the slippery elm, you drink it down. Debbie's nodding her head. You probably used it. And it will take it away in no time at all. But best to avoid that because it can aggravate your stomach, even if your stomach's good. I mean, if you take a little bit of ginger juice and it aggravates your stomach, that to me would say there's probably some disruption in that mucosal lining in the stomach. But if you take a slew of it, it's just, yeah, there's just not enough mucus in most people's stomach unless they do really have an ironclad stomach.
Okay. Yeah. And there's definitely, it's better now, but when it was really bad, like a week or so ago, when I would bend my knee, it would just feel tight.
Mm-hmm.
So there was definitely some inflammation.
Yeah, definitely inflammation there. So the other thing, this is a Chinese medicine thing. You can very thinly slice the ginger, like extremely thin, like a mandolin thin, right? Mm-hmm. And then you lay it over the area where you have pain, and then you put a hot pack over it. And let it go for like, you know, half an hour or so. In Chinese medicine, they do it slightly different than that, but I've found that I've improvised. They'll do it where they do moxibustion. So they put the ginger all over it, then they put the needles all around, and then they heat the needles. So in lieu of that, which you have to get done professionally at home, the at-home treatment would be lay it all over there, put a hot pack over it, and let it sit for a half hour.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So can I ask you another question?
Sure.
My sister has started making kombucha. And so I love the taste of it, actually. I love kombucha. But it does seem like if I take very much, or sometimes it seems to bother me, and sometimes not. So if you've got IBS or SIBO, or you've had some dysbiosis before, is that not a good thing to do?
Not a good idea, because it's got wild yeasts in it. And it will aggravate if you've had any kind of dysbiosis.
All right, good. I'll leave it alone.
Yeah. Kefir, here, let me show. I'm so excited. I'm going to be so sad when I leave here because I've been buying this stuff, which is coconut kefir.
Uh-huh.
And this is just ingredient-wise. It's active kefir cultures and water. And this has stevia in it and lemon juice. So there's different flavors. This is the lemon one, but it's delicious and it's loaded with that great stuff. The other thing is Inner Echo, which is very tasty.
Mm.
But you don't drink a lot of it, you might dilute it. And the other one is Kavita, which is more of the coconut kefir, and it doesn't have, it's a more controlled environment that it's grown in. Those mushrooms tend to ferment into wild yeasts. So it could be a problem.
So it's the wild yeast that you've got to make sure that you're avoiding. Okay. So is that even making your own sauerkraut and things like that? Is that a problem too?
Actually, it's generally not. It's not the kind, that's not what grows there. Each of the vegetables and each of the things that we ferment have their own ecology. Same way our skin has and our gut have a specific microbiome. Each of the veggies actually has their own. So the sauerkraut is excellent, except if you do have a bad SIBO issue, it could cause an overproduction of methane in the small intestine, because those bacteria that typically are meant to be heading down to the large intestine to culture end up stopping in the small intestine. But you know by when you take it if you have a problem. So if you do take sauerkraut and you find that you have a problem with it, then it's probably you need to work on the gut to get yourself to the point where you can tolerate it.
Okay.
So play around with it. If you do have a problem with all of these fermented beverages and foods, then I would say get yourself some bifidus probiotic. Take that for a while and then look at the SIBO and trying to resolve what's going on with the SIBO. Because the bifidus is the one that won't grow there. There's a few strains of lactobacillus. They call them delactate-free strains that you can take and that won't grow in the small intestine. But the typical lactobacillus acidophilus, which is in 90% of all the probiotics sold, that one tends to like that environment in the small intestine once a SIBO is established. So the SIBO may be caused by some bacteria that don't belong, but eventually it's aggravated by, and sometimes it's caused by the good stuff not moving all the way down.
Right. Okay.
And in ERC, in the digestive thing, we have a whole section that talks about SIBO and how to work with it.
Yes. What other questions I have? Oh, so I did a bunch of, I tried doing a vegan diet for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that was, felt good, except that I kept getting bloated. Because I guess it was probably all the beans and my body wasn't used to all the beans.
It could be. I mean, if you were doing a bean intensive vegan diet, yeah. So it could be that your body isn't used to it, that you've got some overgrowth and that it's aggravating. They're high in FODMAPs and lectins and all kinds of other things. So it could be any number of things. You could try a bean-free plant-based diet. It's what I do. I've been doing for, I don't know, decades now. I don't eat beans and I don't eat grains. I eat lots of veggies. I eat coconut and avocado and nuts and seeds. And that's what I eat. So it's a matter of finding the right version for you, because there's a lot of benefits, but you know, people who, that's why I did a webinar called The Hazards of Plant-Based Keto and Paleo Diets. If you do it in a way that's not congruent with what your body needs, then it's going to be messed up. So we all have to find our diet, like, as opposed to, I don't call my diet a vegan diet. It's plant-based, but I don't call it a vegan diet, because people conjure up, oh, she's eating tofu and, you know, beans and rice and all this other stuff. And people say, who eat meat, or doctors who propose a lot of meat will say, oh, no, you can't be healthy on a vegan diet, because they're thinking about people who are eating a lot of meat and analogs and a lot of that other stuff, as opposed to tons of veggies. You don't do that. Yeah. Tons of veggies and whole food plant-based fats. And that's what I propose for myself works.
So is it worth trying digestive enzymes when I'm eating the beans or soaking them?
I mean, you can certainly try that. Yeah. I mean, what kind of symptoms do you get? Is it bloaty gas? Is that right? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be that it will take some time for your body to, your ecology, your gut bugs to adapt to that new, and yeah, you can try that. You can certainly try digestive enzymes.
Because in general, I've been feeling better. Plus, I'm just so much more aware now of, you know, oh, I ate that. I think I'm not going to eat that for a while, or I won't eat it for a while, and then I'll test it again a little bit, you know, and then see how it reacts. Because there's just always so many variables every day. It's hard.
It's called life.
Yeah, exactly.
And we can't control our environment all the time. And there are going to be times you go, huh, I didn't feel well with that. What the heck was that, right? Or, oh, that made my sugar go up. Or I feel kind of lethargic after that, what was in it. And sometimes it's because somebody snuck an allergen in you and there was gluten in that thing that you thought was pure. But it's really takes some doing and some patience to figure out what the exact right combination is for you. And then once you do, the season changes. Yeah. And then all bets are off because you got to adapt to the new season. Right? But once you get in tune with it, you know, you start to get it and it makes sense. And you know what you feel best with and you know what you don't feel so good with. So I was at the store the other day. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. Non-soy tofu made with hemp seeds. Hemp tofu. I'll take a picture. I took a picture of it. I'll post it. And I'm like, well, okay, I'll try it, right? It tasted gross. I literally spit it out. So it was gross.
I'm not sure what the purpose of it is.
Yeah, it's that texture thing. You know, I tried it not because I want to eat it, but mainly because people ask, like, oh, but I want that, you know, that meaty texture, right? And then, you know, tofu tends to be versatile like that when people are transitioning, you know, and they're eating burgers or whatever else they can learn. Yeah, no, it might have been good if I figured out a way to do something with it, but
It was pretty nasty.
So actually, speaking of the texture, if people are trying to get a meaty texture, mushrooms seem to work well. But now that we're talking about that a little bit, are mushrooms bad if you've had dysbiosis? Or are they okay?
Most especially shiitakes. I mean, they're so medicinal, maitakes and shiitakes. And I think that it's going to be an individual thing, but I don't blanketly throw out mushrooms. It's very easy to put everything in categories and say, okay, here's the anti-candida diet. Don't eat any of this. And it doesn't mean that that's true for everyone. And some of the mushrooms are very medicinal. So, and white button, some of them are found, like white button even, have been found to be helpful for thyroid imbalances. So I would say, yeah, I would just test it. You can get small quantities and see how it goes. But yeah, it does give you that texture, if that's what you're looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather have it be natural like that than some of this other stuff.
Some of that stuff is just disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then, soy tends to give me hot
flashes.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people take it for getting rid of hot flashes, because it does have phytoestrogens in it. And so what hot flashes come from is not too much estrogen or not enough estrogen. It's actually fluctuations in the estrogen levels. Oh. So soy may cause this peak and then valley and then, yeah. So whatever works and doesn't work, you stay away from, right?
So if I'm trying to avoid soy, do things like soy lecithin, is that, because it's an everything?
Not. My husband is definitely allergic to soy. Like if he eats anything with soy in it, he gets all, anaphylactic and his stomach bloats up. But he can have lecithin and he can do miso and soy sauce.
All right.
Yeah. Depends on, when we have food sensitivities, the amount we can tolerate depends on why we're sensitive to it. So if it's an allergy, generally there's a specific protein in that food that the body's created an antibody for, right. Generally even small amounts are going to cause a problem. May not an overt symptom, but it's still going to cause inflammation inside. Whereas if it's a sensitivity, it might be that you don't have enough of a specific enzyme to break it down. Or, like for example, oxalates, you might be able to carry some of it out and the rest of it gets absorbed, or you have a leaky gut. So it's dose dependent on a lot of them. So it's just finding what the right dose is for you.
It's funny you mentioned oxalates, because with my knee pain, I was doing green smoothies every day. And I was wondering if part of that could have been oxalate related.
Well, the fact that this came on when you started doing particular exercise, unless you also started the green smoothies at the same time, that's the case and you want to figure it out, you're going to have to tease them apart.
Yeah.
One stop.
And it probably isn't. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Right.
Well, thank you. So none of our other people actually came on. So at this juncture, we have what time is it? 5:43. So we have about another hour and 15 minutes left on here. We can either, we're done and we can call it a day, or we can, everybody can get, if you have other questions, we can address them. Yeah, go ahead.
I had a couple things just come up listening. One is when you talked about the signing up for Facebook to hear talk, Facebook for the Vital community. I think right now I just have ERC. Is it going to be linked so I don't have to join Facebook Vital and Facebook Sweet Spot anymore, or should I still join them separately?
Yeah, they're all separate because some people are just in one or the other. So we keep groups.
So I should go and join them separately if I want to get information.
Yep. Yeah. And, we don't, we will post everything in ERC that's in, that's applicable. We usually cross promote, like if we're announcing something like a webinar or something, we do it in all the groups. So, but it's the conversations that happen. So, I would say given a choice, I would say, if you only want to do one, stick with the ERC, because that's going to be the deepest, and the most in depth and the most comprehensive.
Okay. Yeah. That's all I've been doing, and I didn't know if it would be helpful to do the others, but I didn't want to get overwhelmed with more.
That's the thing. You don't want to get overwhelmed. So I think if you're just in the ERC, you should be fine. Because anything that we post, like if there's a vital call or something and we're posting it, we would also post it in ERC.
Okay, good. And then the other question that came up is, you know, I don't do gluten. I haven't done gluten since 2000 because I'm very severely, I mean, I have a really, definitely have trouble with gluten. And then when I did the genetic testing, you said that I had the celiac, the ones that were, which made sense to me. Mm-hmm. So does that mean it's probably best to completely avoid dairy because of the maybe?
Cross-reactivity? I think so. The studies I've looked at show at least 80% of people with a gluten sensitivity also have a dairy sensitivity.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would.
Okay. It's good to know.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you go out, because I've been eating out a little bit more since it's easier to not have to cook, they'll have like cheese and something or, you know, and I've been doing that more, but wondering if that would, you know, thinking, yeah.
I'd stay away from it. I mean, I'm very careful when I go out. I go out a fair amount because I travel a lot and I grill them and I say no dairy, no this, no that, no the other thing. And it's not hard. They're used to it. 20 years ago, it was a lot harder. Because people looked at you like you were something from Mars. But now, I mean, food sensitivity is gluten-free. Everybody's heard of it. So.
Yeah, because I've been so vigilant about gluten, and now I think I need to just do that same thing with dairy. Okay.
There's a list. Where do we have it posted, list, Lynn, the cross-reactivity list? I think it's in the immune module. So if you scroll down on the main ERC page to the elite modules, there's one called SHIELD, which is immune system. If it's not open to you right now, then just click on the link that says more information or grant me access. Mm-hmm. And it'll say, warning, Will Robbins, you're going to get, you know, whatever. You can just go ahead and do it. We're trying to keep people from getting overwhelmed. So we don't just open them, but we remind them that, you know, open these one at a time and work at your own pace. And in there, in the allergies, there's a whole section on gluten and all that in that section. And I can't remember which section, but there's a list of foods that are known to cross-react with gluten. And what I often tell people is just look at that and avoid. Now, I'm going to temper that for you because you already have such a limited list. And if there's stuff on that list that you're going, but that's my mainstay, I don't want to, you know, have to talk to you next time and find out you're now 75 pounds because you've been eliminating all these other foods. All right. But look at it and, you know, the things like eggs, dairy, I would say, yeah, those are good ones to get rid of. If it shows up, sesame seeds, you might want to just eliminate the others and then you go, oh, but I eat tahini all the time. That's one of my favorites, right? So just eliminate the others first. And then if you want to try a 5-day elimination of sesame, you do, and then you add it right back in. Make sense?
Okay, so just dairy and eggs of that list are the priorities and then kind of play around with the others.
I think corn is on that list. So the ones that are in my top ones, I think dairy, corn, and eggs are on that list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and corn I've noticed kind of just...
Potatoes are a nightshade. But again, because of your weight and because of your sensitivities, I don't want to be starting to pull out things, but we can do it systematically. So that's where going and doing the chronometer, and I get to see what you're eating, mm-hmm. and then I can tell you, let's avoid this, but let's add this, as opposed to if I blanketly tell you, and you being a hypervigilant, mm-hmm. and you go try it, you're going to have less to eat. You're going to lose more weight. And I'm not going to be happy about that.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay. I don't want any more food phobia. So many people have food phobia based on this summit and that summit and this video on Facebook. And people have gotten to the point where they don't know what to eat anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I see two hands up, Jay and Lynn.
We talked about methods to calm the mind. So what about calming herbs? What comes to your mind when you think about herbs that would help?
So there's several. And one of the things I told Sarah to do was, you know, I said, get out on your patio once a day with a cup of chamomile tea. And, you know, just make it's not just the herb, but it's the ritual of doing the herb. So I like to do calming herbs in teas because a tea forces you to slow down and think about why you're taking it, right? As opposed to another tincture with more alcohol, you know. So chamomile, lemon balm, passion flower is one of my absolute favorite ones because it calms down the monkey mind. Chamomile, lemon balm, milky oats.
No, I hadn't heard that one.
Shizandra is another good one. Lynn, can you think of any others?
And you said passion flower?
Yep.
Is that the same as golden seal?
No, golden seal's different. Golden seal's more of an antimicrobial, and you want to be careful with golden seal because it's endangered, and you don't want to take golden seal willy-nilly because bugs get resistant to it. So you want to reserve that for infections.
I saw where Hawaii Farm has a hemp tincture. Would hemp, you think that's more for pain than...
I think that, you know, but a lot of people get that, use it for sedative for sleeping, the CBD.
Mm.
A lot of people get results.
And so you're looking to just calm your mind?
Yeah. You don't have trouble falling asleep.
So
no, I don't even need trouble falling asleep.
No, I know that.
Okay, so it's just your mind, right?
I think
yeah, it's just flowers. Anxiety, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just being hyper on...
Being hyper.
Well, and you said lemon balm.
Mm-hmm.
Skullcap?
Yeah, you know, skullcap can be really good. I remember somebody who had a phobia, she was really anxious and she had to fly and she was always, and we put her together. California poppy. I mean, there's a lot of them. And I don't want you to go and buy 12 because I know how you are, right? Oh, yeah, these are great. I'm going to buy 12 new tinctures.
Yeah. Well, it's just that you're already doing, you know, like Tulsi and Ashwagandha, Reishi. Hawthorn, even though it's, you know, cardiovascular, it's also.
That's good.
You know, that's good for that. Blue vervain.
What?
Blue vervain. You know, it's one of those type A personality. Nervines.
Okay.
I think those are the only things that I can think
of. Yeah, but, you know, I would say start with the tea thing because you can always, I'm sure at work they have, you know, a coffee machine where you can get hot water.
Right.
Yeah. And start with the tea.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I try to do that.
Right.
I've got a mushroom blend that I'll take two green tea bags. Make some green tea, and then I'll mix in some powdered mushroom.
The green tea, be cautious because of the little bit of caffeine. It's not much caffeine, but that might actually put it in the other direction. So maybe some lemon balm, some passion flower, that kind of stuff. You can actually get you can get them in powder form, and you can just stir them in if they're.
I've got some hibiscus tea I take too.
Hibiscus is a really good source of vitamin C. I don't know how calming it is, though.
Okay.
Shizandra tends to be a really calming adaptogen, super calming. But play with them.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's the ritual of stopping, and I can't say enough about stopping, doing a couple of breaths with the appreciation. Knowing that you're enough, knowing that you're super smart, knowing that you don't have to like be frantic to get everything done, and that when you do take that break, it activates this part, which is brilliant, right? The prefrontal cortex, and shuts down the limbic system. Because the limbic system
is your third eye, and there's actually a chakra in the back called the causal chakra, which is again... activates who you are. So
the other thing, here's another one. You can get you can either use millet or you can get some little acupuncture beads. You can find them on Amazon these days, and they're just little, like they look like a little band-aid with a pellet in the middle, and there's four points that the Chinese use. They call it the four gates. And it's super for stress reduction, for calming you down. And the two spots on the hand are what's called large intestine 4, right in the web here, right here. And write these down, because all you have to do is do a Google search on these particular acupuncture points and you'll see pictures of where they are. LI4, large intestine 4, right in the thumb web. That's a calming one. Down in the toe, same thing, but between the first and second toe in the web is liver 3. And then on the calf on the inside, spleen 6. And on the calf on the outside, stomach 36. And then the last point, which you're not going to want to put on and walk around work, but you can do it at home, is right between your two eyebrows, right in the middle. And that's Shenmen or Shan, I forget what it's called. I think it's Shenmen. And go to Google, search for those points. You'll see a real cool picture. And you can put them on there. The other possibility you can do is actually to stimulate them on your hand. Like there's a mapping that's a little bit more complicated. And there's a chart. If you go, when we did that 2-day live stream, we put up all the links, that page. I forget what the exact link to that page is. But that page had all my handouts. And one of the handouts was actually the chart, I believe. The Korean hand acupuncture chart, or just
look. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And you can find those points on your hand.
That's what all these things are you're talking about?
Well, those are actually acupuncture meridian points, which are on the body. Like I said, on the hand, the foot, the calf. But you can actually stimulate them on your hand with the mapping that they have there. And you can just put those beads on your hand. Say you don't want to walk around with beads on all your points, which it's actually not bad because only things people are going to see is on your hand, right? The other one's on your foot, or you just do it at home. But, and then you can periodically throughout the day stimulate. Like it's easy to just rub your thumb web throughout the day to try to get calm. You're not going to want to walk around with this one at work. I mean, they'll totally think you've gone bonkers.
Yeah.
You do that one at home. Or you could just, here's the deal. Right? Stimulate it, right? And those are really good calming points. It's right there between the eyebrows.
Just press down and...
Yeah, and do a little circular movement. Hold it. Do a circular movement. When I do acupuncture on those points or when I get acupuncture on those points, it's an immediate sleep. It's like an immediate... As soon as they put that last point in, I'm like... So... My Chinese acupuncture teacher said, he's from China, and he says, this is the American series. We have to do this for all you stressed out Americans. I'm like, okay. You guys stress out too much.
Well, it's kind of distracting too, so get your mind off.
Anything that distracts you from it too. And for me, it's just like, okay, I feel it. So I really encourage you all to tune into where you feel stress when you feel it. Like for me, it's right here in my chest. And I've taught myself that as soon as I start to feel that fluttery sensation here, I just breathe. And I go to my beach. My beach is right out there and the sun is starting to come out. I go to the beach. And I can't tell you enough how much that's going to save you if you just get in that habit of doing it every time. And if you do it enough, then when you get in that stressed out state, it becomes an automatic reflex. Like just like anything else, we wire it in the brain. And it may take 4 neurons to get a particular path to fire. But when we do it enough, it gets shortcutted and there's a shortcut path created in the brain. They've shown this. And we have that. We're wired for that. Like if you were bitten by a dog when you were a kid, you know, and it was bad, whenever you hear a dog bark, panic because of that, right? Where somebody else is going, oh, a dog, nice, I'm going to cuddle the dog. Somebody else has that wired, that's fear, right? And if you were hit when you were a kid, if there were certain words that your dad said to you before they beat you, I mean, that gets wired in your brain and you get triggered. And when we can just break those triggers by rewiring new shortcut connections, like for me, it was really funny because after a while, I'm sitting and my internet goes down and I'm going, it's like immediately my body went into that mode of relaxing. Am I perfect? No. Do I still get upset and lose it? Yes, but I can catch myself way sooner than when I was, you know, untrained.
Yeah, when I was waiting for my eye surgery, I tried to think back on, you know, the muse kind of has a lapping water sound.
Yes.
And then the birds. And so that I tried to visualize and think about those sounds and that, you know.
Yes.
Not necessarily on a beach, but the water's kind of calming. You know?
Yeah, water's definitely calming. Right. Mm. Right.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so it's just creating new habits is really going to rewire everything. And but yeah, the teas are great, and most of it, I think part of it is the ritual of it too, to just sit down with that calming cup of tea. But yeah, those the ones we mentioned are actually really good for that. Good question.
Okay, good. Good
question. Lynn, you had your hand up. Did you have something you wanted to add at some point or ask?
If I remember correctly, when Debbie was talking about, or maybe it was Karen was talking about beans. So one of the things I do occasionally, and I thought, maybe I should ask about this. I will soak chickpeas or garbanzo beans, and then I run them through my food processor to make them like rice. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't do it very often, but I'm curious, is that something I should not do or should watch?
Well, if you're soaking them and then you're cooking them, or are you just soaking them?
I'm just soaking them. And then it was a recipe I found in a raw food recipe.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I don't really think raw legumes, that's where you get into some of the issues with lectins. I mean, lectins are real. They're just not
right.
No threat, and very high in raw legumes and sprouted legumes.
So even if they're like sprouted, like the little tail is starting to form.
Supposedly. Okay. Right. Okay. I can't confirm that for sure, but that's what I've read.
Okay. That's the basis for hummus.
Right. But,
well, but they cook it. Normally they cook it.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
Yeah. And so the idea was, you know, you soak, you sprout them, and then you let them dry a little bit because you run them through the grater thing on your food processor, and it like makes it look like rice.
Yeah, you could probably do it after cooking them too, but that's my understanding about the legumes.
Right,
chickpeas aren't as high as kidney beans, red kidney beans.
Oh yeah, I don't. I don't. You haven't drank kidney beans,
right? And that you can actually get. Stuff.
Yeah.
The other thing, you know, it's all like conjecture and. Try it if it doesn't bother you.
Well, I don't remember, but again, it's like something I do once every like 2 or 3 months. It's not even if that.
Pay attention to how your body feels with it too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of the older raw recipes, you know.
Yeah, I substitute raw hummus. I make it with zucchini instead of garbanzos.
Well, and you have a really great broccoli one. Yeah, I like your broccoli one.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I do instead. Yeah. It's good.
And they're also both really good for B6. So, yeah.
And the cruciferous, right? So cruciferous vegetables are great for liver detox pathways and so many other things.
I think that was it.
Okay, good. Anybody else? Questions, comments? Things I can support you with? You got me here. Captive audience. No, we're good.
You know, one thing, because I was actually looking at the Unstoppable Health Roadmap before. I just want to put a plug in for that to print it out yourself. You should have gotten one in your binder, mm-hmm. but I like to print it out. I used to do this a lot more, and this was when I saw this come up, I was like, oh yeah, I should be doing this more often. So I'm going to put a plug in for that. If you haven't done it recently, it's such an amazing tool. Even if you do it once a month, once a week, even as you reevaluate what am I going to do? Because there's a section in there that says, you know, what am I doing this week? What's my goal for the month? What's the goal for the next 90 days? And it's such an amazing tool that if you aren't taking advantage of that, you know, it's something, spend 10, 15 minutes on it once a week, once a month, and go through it. Because it's self-reflective. It's like, what's creating resistance in me? What's coming up that, you know, what's the fear that's coming up as I look at adding something or doing a particular task? And so what's that block that's coming up that's saying, yeah, I'm kind of scared of this. What's going on? And, you know, there's these little sections that you can kind of journal in, just like write yourself a little note. Don't have mm-hmm. to write, you know, some people don't like writing. And so
you create a version of it that you can fill in. There's a physical online version. Do we have that? Yeah, I think it's on that roadmap.
It's on, yeah. Yeah. But I will put a plug in for writing because there is such a great connection between your brain and your hand. And even if you write one word,
it
the dynamics in that are amazing. So
the other thing on the back of that is the checklist. And you may have additional things and maybe some of those things don't apply for you, but it's a really nice checklist to remind you of the things to be doing on a daily basis. You know, and after a while it gets to be rote, but for a while it doesn't, right?
It's not bad to go back and review it because it can become rote. You can forget things.
You can forget things, right?
I know I do.
Oh, I certainly do.
That's why you may have heard my phone go off a couple times. I set alarms for my phone like every 90 minutes to 2 hours to remind myself to drink water.
Yeah. Yeah. That one I don't need. I drink my water, but I've been around Lynn. Lynn's been around me and she watches me drink and I'm like, drink. And she takes a sip and I'll be on like third quart of water and she's still on her first pint. I'm like, drink. So I'm glad to hear that you're doing that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, you look really good. And so it's like, I look in the mirror and I'm like, vanity is raising its lovely head and I want to look good too.
Oh. We'll see. Age makes the...
Oh, I thought you were saying that to me. I'm like,
no,
what?
No, I mean, yeah. Oh, wow, there's this really cool bird with long legs walking across my lawn. Oh, my God. I don't want to go home. I'm really glad my flight got canceled tonight, I think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be if it was torrential rains and hurricane winds out there right now, but I'm looking out and it's like the sun's starting to peek out. It got very bright. There's no rain coming. There's no wind at all. There's barely a breeze. Like you could see some of the wispy little things moving now. So there's a little breeze. It's like heavenly. Like I'd like to live in this place.
You're probably in the eye of the hurricane.
That's what people were saying, right? It's the calm before. I posted a really pretty picture to Facebook last night. I'm like, does this look like a sunset picture in the middle of a hurricane and it had all this pink sky?
And they were like, it could literally be in the middle.
And it could be because, you know, apparently the airport they're not letting flights in because of wind and rain. And it's a half an hour, less than a half an hour up the road from here.
So, you know, though, a lot can happen in that, at least from because we're in Tornado Alley and it's not uncommon for, you know, it's so flat here, you know, a mile down the road that they'll get absolutely just ripped apart. I mean, even across the road, they'd get ripped apart and it would just skip right over. And hurricanes obviously are much bigger than that, but, I've been watching just,
I created a bubble. All the people I asked to create a bubble have created a bubble around Wailea. And I'm just, you know, riding out this storm and really actually enjoying it. And knowing that I don't have to, like now I would have had to rush to get my everything packed and rush to the airport and, you know, do all that right now. And I'm like, okay, I can go down to the beach and check it out. I may not go swimming. I'll exercise that caution, trusting that maybe there'll be riptides and I'll trust it, but I'll at least get up to my knees like I did last night. And
we'll all be playing that song, Riders on the Storm.
Yeah. So cool. Well, I want to be back here. Oh, and that bird just flew across and now it's on a wire, like electric wire or line or something. It's just sitting there. It's just.
Well, just keep manifesting. Beautiful. You realize, though, it was a year ago this month that the big hurricanes were happening in Texas.
Well, that's what Jay just said. It was a year ago today that Harvey hit.
Yep. And so we need to watch where she goes in August. So
I wasn't in Texas.
She's a
I know how to avoid them. I was in Oregon. And then I left Oregon the day before all the fires broke out in Oregon. Well, I was near the middle of a fire.
They just follow you.
But I was like, I never got to experience the hurricane or any, or even, you know, because
Kevin moved up.
I left my kids home to deal with it themselves. I mean, they were adult kids. But then Kevin went down to Corpus without
lunch. Yeah, but he moved back.
He moved back. He's home.
But I mean, during that time,
He had just moved down to Corpus.
Right, like, and so he came back up and stayed at your place.
He came up, but then he left. Because they told him he needed to go to work the Monday after Hurricane hit. They called him to go to work. They said, no, you have to go to work. So he drove back down to Corpus, risked not having gas and all that, got down to Corpus, had no electricity in on his block because of a downed tree, no air conditioning, went to work. He worked at a skateboard shop and a board, like a, what do you call those, surfboard shop. Like, who the hell is shopping for skateboards and surfboards during a hurricane? But he went to work. Nobody showed up in the store. He got paid. He was there for the week. It was so hot in this little apartment with no air conditioning, 4 days without AC. Said he would go to bed. He would take a shower with a t-shirt on, go to bed with the t-shirt on, the wet t-shirt, wake up in the middle of the night, hot again, back in the shower. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, I've done that before. The worst time is not during the hurricane. It's actually right after the hurricane. The most oppressive heat there is.
Mm-hmm. And if you have no electricity, then.
Yeah, exactly.
And meanwhile, we're in Oregon going, okay, what's our kid doing, this crazy kid, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened. Kids, they do that. But anyway, any other questions or comments, any other support? Pat, are you good? We have our 23andMe call going to be coming up soon. And we have our Dutch call. So we have a whole lot of stuff to get caught up with you. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm so glad that you are here. And you're able to do it on a work day.
Yes, I remembered and I got here on time and everything worked.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely.
Yay! Yay is right.
Yay. Yeah. And the potluck's canceled tomorrow night, by the way.
So don't show up.
Did Scott send something out to the meetup?
There's something on Facebook.
It's on Facebook, but yeah, he hopefully did. Otherwise, he'll just have to entertain people when they show up. That's all. He doesn't want to be the host. He wants me to be the host. So he could have kept it, but it's not his thing. But if he didn't put it out there, I shouldn't have to deal with all those details. He knows if he's canceling it, he has to let people know. And if he doesn't let them know, they're going to show up. And maybe that's his intent. They'll show up with dinner and
they can all sit and watch the game. Whatever game is on.
That's usually what he ends up doing. He escapes into another room. He watches the game and a few of the guys go watch it with him.
Yeah.
But I will tell you about him. He went and did a 5-day fast with me. Actually, we didn't coordinate our 5-day fast. I did a 5-day fast while he was away. My last day of my 5-day fast was when he got back. He decided to do the 5-day fast that day. So as I'm starting to eat, I felt really bad. He's doing his fast, but he did it. I then went and did a second 5-day fast. But after that, he started eating and he's been eating so well. He's been eating almost all raw. He hasn't cooked anything in the house since that. And that was in June. He's lost a bunch of weight. And he said he's feeling so good. And his idea of snacking is he goes to the refrigerator, peels a cucumber, grabs a head of lettuce, and he literally walks around eating a whole cucumber and a head of lettuce without dressing, without sauce, without anything. And so he went out to dinner one night, a couple of weeks right before we left, or I left, and he went out to dinner with a friend in the neighborhood, and they went to a Chinese restaurant, and he said he realized he was eating this cooked processed food for the first time in forever. And he goes, I didn't feel good. I didn't enjoy it. He goes, I'm sticking to what we've been doing. So it was really exciting. Yeah. So it becomes new habits. I don't think he'll give up beer. I don't think he'll give up, some of the stuff, but he did a good job. Coffee is his big one.
Well, and there's, I think, emotional reasons for that, but I think he needs to do a men's program, and I'd have my husband do it. If I could get my husband off of Mountain Dew.
Yeah,
that's his green drink.
He did a men's retreat a couple of times years ago through the UU Church in Austin, and he went away, and it was always amazing for him, because to get together with men who are actually communicating instead of just talking sports, and it was really helpful for him. But he has Laura now. He loves going to see Laura. That's his, Laura and David. David does acupuncture. Laura does all that other stuff, and he just is addicted to his helpers. So, yeah, it's good stuff. It's really good stuff.
Are you guys following Dr. Weinthal's presentations?
I haven't been. I spoke to him a few days ago. How is it going?
I got my herbs because the calls are all during times when we have calls or I have calls.
I wish you could.
I went to the first two. The first one, just have him. It's all.
He said it's all on record. And he said anybody that joins it late that didn't do it during, he'll make sure, he has a list of the people who didn't, he'll make sure he gets the kits out. And
first of all, it's not interactive, of course. Mm-hmm. And second of all, I mean, but there's a lot of focus on, like, the title is Soul of Herbs. And so he spends time talking about kind of esoteric, meditative sort of aspects of herb. And I guess I was looking for more, I was thinking it might be more practical, and maybe he's going to get into that. Yeah. What I mean?
Yeah. I do know what you mean.
Yeah.
Well, which is because I'm taking a course. I've been taking, it's just a monthly thing on the character structure of herbs, and but we get really practical too. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, my herbal, I had a 2-year certification, so it was very practical, but we'd go into he'd go into the energetic of the herbs, but it was mm-hmm. always the practical stuff. And how do you put together a formula based on your different characteristics, which is, that takes a lot of doing, but there's some simple ways that you can look at that in terms of.
Right. It's like homeopathics or what we teach, in this particular course. Yeah, it looks at the character structure, doctrine of signatures, the planets, all of those, alchemy type pieces, because, like we're saying, what herbs are good for calming the mind. It's kind of like, who are you, so that's why I really hesitate saying, well, it could be, right. It could be.
So here's the thing with that. That's why I did what I did in cafe, and you may actually go in there because it's all about calming, right? So it's adrenal and doing like a stage one kind of adrenal thing.
Okay.
And look at those. And what I did in there was I gave you the properties. These are heating. These are cooling. These are some other things so that you can like read through them and go, you know what she said, Shizandra or passion flower. I'm reading passion flower and I'm really resonating with it based on some of the other things. I think I'll start with trying that. Or a combination. You go, wow, Shizandra and passion flower sound like they're just right between the two. They really cover me. Let me do a combination of those two. So yeah, go to the cafe. Part 5, I think, is where I have that booklet. Part 4 or 5, one of those two. I have that little booklet.
And if you look at the program action guide, it
tells you where.
It tells you where. It tells, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's a good way to do it.
Well, it actually has a blend of Shizandra and passion flower, I think.
I'm feeling, based on how I know you, Jay, that would be a very good combo for you. right? So it could be very, very good. Yeah. But again, you can't just add herbs to habits that aren't supporting you. So you have to do it all. And I'm not a big like, oh, just do the habits and everything will take care of itself. Let's give you all the support that we can to help, you know, you get through this. But yeah, I think that would be, that's a good combination. That's why I said it. Like, and sometimes things come out of my mouth that I wasn't actually thinking, but it was just flowing through me. And so when I said Schizandra passion flower, when I actually put my brain to it, it just came out. But when I put my mind to it, knowing you, it's like, oh yeah, that's a good combination for you.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
Yay. All right. Everybody else? Anybody else? Questions, comments? So I want to go around one last time. I wrote down and I mentioned to you, and maybe you're not going to take my advice and you're going to have some, you know, something that else comes out to you, and that's fine. But what are you going to, one action that you're going to follow up with? So we'll start in the same order, which was Jay first. What's one action that you're going to take? And if you have three, you can tell me three.
Well, the main thing I'm going to do is try to do the Muse more regularly and at least work up to twice a day. Yeah. Okay. Maybe in the morning before I go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
Maybe when I get home, maybe I can do three. I don't know.
Yeah. And if you stick to 3 minutes, that's not going to, you know, 3 minutes. Okay. I can do 3 minutes. Right. So you are, okay, I'm going to just intervene here because you tend to want to do things perfectly, right? You want to get the
clockwork.
Right. And so you're going to go, well, I'm going to do this. And then you're going to try, well, I can do more than three. I'm going to go to 10. And then it's going to get burdensome. And then you're only going to do it for a little bit. And then you're going to give up.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Start with three. Promise me you'll start
three,
with
three. Three would be the max. Yeah, I'll probably start with two.
Start with two.
Probably just do one.
Start with one.
One time a day.
Holy cow, did that leave? Is that over so quickly? I need more than that, right? And then you'll do two.
I need it to be more consistent.
Just consistency, establishing that muscle. Okay. What about doing the keto mojo and the tracking that we talked about?
Yeah, I need to get the Libra installed this weekend and so Libra. I can start easily checking.
Yeah.
Of course, I'll have to be careful that I don't go overboard on that because I'll end up trying to check myself every time I do something.
That's okay, you know, but you don't have to do anything with it because it's all in there. You don't have to write it down. That's the beauty of it. You can always go back and look at the log and capture it if you want to in your log.
Yeah.
But the only thing you want, you know, you don't want to be sitting in a meeting with a client or at your, you know, with your other attorneys and going like, oh, sure. And you could if you wanted to, but you don't have to look at it. So you can, I've done that in the middle of meetings. I just hold it up. Nobody knows what I'm doing.
It'll read through a shirt, won't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Shirt, towel, anything. Yeah, it reads through.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is just hearing what you were just saying, I'm going to put out there again the blue vervain, because blue vervain is really good for those who feel like their lives have to be perfect.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, so I'm not. That's not one that I'm real familiar with, so thank you for that. I wouldn't have thought of blue vervain. It's not one in my arsenal.
I'm trying to let go of a lot of perfection, actually, to be honest with you, and I'm trying to do kind of triage more at work. Like there was something that I could have worked on today that I go, you know, this can wait till next week. They don't need it today. They're probably not even around.
Good. Recovering perfectionist, join the club. Yay.
I'll look at a page and I'll go, you know, I probably would have worded this differently, but this will do the job. I just let it go.
Good for you.
I'm really working on that now.
That's great.
I used to just pick apart stuff, you know.
That's great.
Yeah. So,
Perfectionist Anonymous.
Yeah.
We have a 12-step program for overcoming your perfectionism. Oh, thank you. Okay, who was next? I think it was Debbie, right? Or Debbie or Pat. Who was next? Debbie. It doesn't matter. Debbie or Pat, go. Debbie. What's one thing you're going to do?
Okay, I was muted. I was just thinking how I used your phrase a lot, done is better than perfect. I love that one. That has helped me a lot.
Good.
So, okay, I'm going to get the chronometer. Is that what it's called? The chronometer. And start tracking that to see what my calories really are.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try the recipe ideas that you guys mentioned with the lightly steamed, boiled type vegetables and the sauces.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to just think what other safe things I can add, because I am going to try to be careful about dairy and eggs. And I just have to figure out what other kind of avocado. I can do avocado.
Yes, nice.
And just figure out what other foods that can be staples for me right now.
Okay. Sounds good. And eggs have a lot of lecithin, right? And that's good for acetylcholine, good for short-term memory and other things, and calm part of your nervous system. So looking at lecithin as a possibility, sunflower lecithin, you can get.
I bought that. In fact, I found it in my store because you had recommended it on my 23andMe.
Yes.
You know. I was just finding since I can't really do, I'm using the little food processor, but the actual blender is a bit too heavy for me with the container. So I'm trying to figure out what to put the lecithin in and on. The
soups we just talked about in any of the sauces.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll thicken them and hold it together better. Because sometimes when you have a fat and water combination and you put it in the fridge, it separates. The lecithin will keep that from happening. Start with half a teaspoon. Start with a half a teaspoon and work your way up from there.
So when I'm doing the nut blended sauces, put it in there.
Absolutely.
Oh, good. I was just trying to figure out what to do with it, you know. Because it's very thick and kind of, when it's cold coming out of the refrigerator.
Did you get the liquid? You were able to get the liquid?
Yeah, I got the liquid. Yeah. It's like this dark, dark brown liquid in a jar.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, got it. We'll see how that goes. And if you want to try the next time when you run out of that, try the powder. Raw Food World has a raw sunflower lecithin powder. And then I found some online at Whole Foods that was, it's not raw, but it's sunflower. It's organic. You want it organic. What's the brand? I forget the brand.
Okay, so they make a powder. I didn't know that. I just saw the liquid. So.
They make a powder too. But yeah, the liquid will go fine in there. It's just thick and a little bit harder to work with, but it's fine. I used to use that too until the company I was using didn't have it organic anymore, so I like to get it organic.
So organic, which one do you use now that's organic? Because mine's not organic, by the way.
Raw Food World has it. And then there's a one on Amazon that I found. I don't remember the name of it. But it's an organic one.
Okay, Raw Food World, and I'll look up one. Yeah, that's the only thing about it. It's not organic, but it looked like a good company. So,
if it's a good company, the thing I'm more concerned about than the organic also is hexane free.
I think it's hexane free. I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, because some of the companies, one of the companies I was using for a while, and then found out that they were using hexane to extract it. We don't want that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, good. I'm glad you mentioned that because I've been trying to figure out what to do with it. So.
Yeah, I think Lynn just put up. Lynn just put up a link.
Oh, okay, thanks. Yeah,
good job. All right, so Pat, what are you gonna do?
So everything I'm gonna do, I have to order something for. So I'm gonna pick one. Probably the Freestyle Libre.
Okay.
So.
Great.
Because I still have to order the ketone. I think they come with 10. So yeah, I got 5 days worth or something. So yeah. I need to order those too. So maybe those two things.
You can start doing it and you can order.
Yes. And continue doing it. Yes. Okay.
Beautiful. All right. Karen. You're in the dark there, girl. I see this like bare image of your head. It's funny.
Oh, there we go. All right. Yeah, I need to turn on the light. It's getting dark here on the East Coast.
Yeah.
I did just put a little pressure on the top of my kneecap just then and felt something.
Note where? Note the intensity so that when you go back after a week or two of working on this that you can see if there's a difference.
Yeah, it's right in the center. But yeah, so I'm going to get some bands and then do the, what did you call it? The medial
medial quad exercises, and then try the ginger juice. And then we also talked about food-related, coconut kefir and sauerkraut, and maybe some of that too.
Yeah, just if you go over to Whole Foods or whatever your local organic market is, and just get yourself a variety and see what will work out for you. And if all of them work out for you, then just vary it.
Well, then it's nice because you do have a variety.
Variety, right? I've been so excited because I showed you that liquid, but that same brand also has the thick pudding, like yogurt kind of kefir.
Oh, cool.
And it's the same brand. So I've been in heaven here since I got here eating that stuff. And plus
yeah, I do. I miss yogurt. Yeah, I haven't done dairy in so long. I do miss yogurt. So
there's
something
a new
like
one called Coco Yo that I got at our Whole Foods, and I saw it in California when I was in San Diego. Coco Yo, COCOYO. And it's pure coconut. It's raw. It's fermented. It's tangy. And it tastes the same as if you make it yourself, only you don't have to make it yourself. Really yummy.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And they have a vanilla, which is sweetened with stevia, and then they have plain. So they're both good.
You can't even see my thumb. I was doing a thumbs up.
Ah, there, I saw your thumb. It came up. I can see a little bit of your white makeup. Yes.
All right. I think I turned the light on. All right. Thank you.
All right. Oh, let me just put up a link to that. So check your chat, guys, before you hang up, and copy out any of the links that Lynn put. We'll send you a link. I don't know how we're going to send this page out. We'll figure it out and send a recording if you guys want it. Oh, there she is. Now I see Karen. Yay. And let there be light. All right. Any last questions or comments or anything you want to say to anybody else on here? And if there's any one thing that you feel like you learned from listening to others share, or me or Lynn, you know, talk to others, I would love to hear it, because I love to hear how we as a community support each other.
Okay. I definitely feel the community that Lynn was talking about, that we're not alone. Mm-hmm. I feel it so strongly right now, just with our group here, and I do with ERC. So this is a real blessing for me today. And I definitely feel clearer, which is why I've been praying for that. And I'm just grateful for everybody here. So thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for being and playing full out and coming and staying the whole day. I appreciate that.
Anyone else? I echo the same sentiments. Yeah. I appreciate everybody being here, and just hearing other people share their trials and tribulations helps make me think of things. And yeah.
Good. Thanks. Good. And we're recovering perfectionists. So yay. I love
it. Totally.
PA, Perfectionist Anonymous.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I want to thank everybody too. It's a very supportive environment, and I appreciate the time and knowledge that you share with us, both Dr. Rita Marie and Lynn.
Yeah.
So, and I have to say, I've made big changes. So hang in there, everybody.
Yeah. The difference between you 2 years ago and now is like huge.
Yeah.
And it's so great to see. So great to see. Thank you. And thank you for everything. And wishing you continued success in your journey, and stay connected via the Vital community.
That's what I'm thinking of doing, is doing Vital this year.
Yeah.
Because we at least get some of your time in Vital too, just not as much, right?
Not as much, yeah.
Yeah. But that should be okay. But if not, you can always make a change.
Make a change, right. We'll always welcome you back with open arms. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Pat, any last words from you?
I just thank you. And listening to everybody say what they have to say, there's little pieces that ring true that make me want to stay for the whole time. So, like with Jay and his the different herbs and stuff. Different. Anyway.
Thank you. And hope to see you around Austin at some point. I don't know why this just came to my mind, but I recall a day, I don't know how long ago it was. Remember that little raw foods cafe that was, it was as part of another.
Beets?
No, not Beets. The other little one that came and went. I can't remember the name of it.
What street was it on? Was it on 5th or was
on
it?
On 5th. It was on
tucked 6th. In a hair salon.
Yes, in a hair salon. And I went in there one day, I was going home from Whole Foods, and I said, oh, let me stop in there and see what they have. And they had little takeout stuff. And
cool stuff.
Real cool stuff. But guess who I ran into was Pat. And like 3 or 4 hours later, we were still sitting there when they were trying to close the place down. Do you remember that?
Who was the guy? Was there a guy? There's a woman that ran it. And
it was a woman that ran it.
Boyfriend or something.
And it was her boyfriend who was the financier of it.
And then we were at Beets. And wasn't he there?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway.
Closed down. Anyway, we used to have all these raw food restaurants and cafes, and whenever I'd go around, I'd always run into people, you know.
Yes, different. Cool, yes.
Really cool thing. And then all of them closed down. So none of them made it. So, no. But I had this vivid memory of sitting there because I hadn't seen you in a while, and we just sat there and we talked.
For a really long time. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
very cool. Yeah. All right. Much love to all of you. Lynn, do you have any last parting words?
You know, you guys are just inspiring to me.
Mm.
That's, I know you have said how you feel supported well back at you. So thank you.
Thank you. And I know everybody's going to really enjoy the coaching teams. We have 7 coaching teams this year. So that's 14 coaches plus an additional 3 coaches who are not doing the coach. They're just doing the privates. So 17 coaches supporting you guys. So there's almost one coach for every two. There's a little bit less than one coach for every 2 people in the program. But if you count Lynn and I, that's 19, right? So there's
not you, and you're like 3 of us.
So it's really, we've got one coach for every 2 people in the program. And, you know, I don't know of any other program that provides quite that amount of support, but I feel like it's really inspiring for me. And more some of the coaches, like Drina did last week, talking about liposomal C, and they're going to come in and support you in ways. And
they're already signing up for their FNC office hour calls.
Are they? And they're going to be doing those little things. And then Susan is going to be doing the yoga, the movement thing.
Breath work, yeah.
You know, there's just all kinds of things that we're just constantly adding in to support you in ways and rearranging the site. I'm so excited to finally get the site to be the way I want it to be. And I keep logging in as different ones of you. You don't know it, but to make sure that what I'm seeing as you is what really should be there, and then sending a note to our guy in England, which has been a challenge since I'm in Hawaii and he's in England and our days are like, you know, 14 hours apart, but he'll be getting up and I'm going to bed. I'm like, okay, here's some stuff. I'll expect to see it done by the time I'm ready to get up. But yeah,
there's lots of time because I get up like 5:30 and I'm getting up and she's still up.
Right. But I've been going to bed early since I've been here. For me, I've always gone to bed before midnight. Last night I went to bed at 10, most nights it's 11. Mm-hmm. But getting up at 5:30 here, because of that's 10 or 10:30 and I have calls happening, but it's been an honor to really see some of these folks who started out as, you know, just students coming in, to see them blossom and grow to the point where they're really good as coaches and supporting you. And, so you'll have 2 coaches, you know, like you did last year, but one of them is the senior coach and one of them is the quote unquote junior coach. But in reality, some of those junior coaches have actually had lots of experience over time. And the senior coaches are just senior because they've done ERC coaching before. Yeah. So excited about it.
And I just wanted to put out here just in my
woo-woo stuff. So today, or this weekend, Sunday, early Sunday morning, is a full moon. Ooh. And so it is, here it is. I was like, I know I've got it written down here somewhere. It's a great time for making intentions. And so what we just did here is a good way for you to find out what is it you want to make for this ERC year or whatever in your life you want to do, even for the next month. You know, mm-hmm. quite frankly, we really, you know, it's the next month that you, you know, this is the nice thing with the moon phases, whether you think anything of it or not, it just tells you every 28 to 30 days, you know, you make an intention, you revisit it, you make an intention and you revisit it. So, anyway, you know, it's a good time to do any decluttering, creating space in your life, to release anything that may be viewed as negative, asking for more of what you want to come in. And there's a difference in cleaning your room, your house, whatever, for between the new moon and the full moon. So during the full moon, you want to basically cleanse the back door with the intention of completion and releasing what is blocking you from manifesting for what you want. And it's also a really good time for taking a cleansing bath. So if you do anything where you just sit there and go, okay, I'm going to, you know, this is what I'm releasing, this is what I want to manifest for the next 30 days. It's so after that, you take a bath. And then when you let the water out, imagine that what is no longer useful for you is going right down the tube.
I like that.
So, yeah. So anyway, just some ideas of what you can do.
Wonderful. Thank you. So, can I ask a practical question?
Absolutely.
How long does the moon stay full? Is it just that one day or does it actually stay full for a couple of days?
Well, it's the energy. So like right now I'm already feeling it, just really feeling it. So you might find your sleep cycle kind of interrupted, which is what happens to me. And so like for a day or two in front of it and a day or two after it. So anytime within that 2 to 3 day period on either side of it, you can do these things. You know,
when it is full, is it really just a 12 to 24 hour period when it's full and it starts?
There's a peak. Yeah. That's why you'll often see in some of these blogs and sites, it peaks at this particular time.
So, well, that makes sense. Cause it's an ebb and a flow and an ebb and a flow. So, okay. Got it.
Right. And so the full moon is what brings completion and so it's a release and go energy. So the full moon is what gives you the gift of removing what no longer serves you and completes what you intended to do. And you can now move on to something new. I find it very freeing.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. All right, guys, I'm going to go and I'm going to go outside and enjoy the beach for one last time before I get on my flight. Actually, tomorrow, so I still have, who knows? Who knows? I may be here for 3 more days. I have no idea. I mean, it's perfectly fine out here, but my flight's canceled tonight. Go figure. So anyway.
Safe travels tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. Much love to everybody.
Okay. Bye, guys.
We'll be able to have a recording of this. We'll be able to see a recording later.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. As soon as
it will probably be. Well, you know, again, you can always send out that temporary replay link.
Right. But somebody has to actually physically copy the link and then send it out.
True.
Right. Right. Which, yeah. Anyway. So we have the list of people who signed up for this and we can send it out to the folks that are tagged that signed up for it. But it's not something that I can do. I just need to let the process happen so Jazzy would get it up.
Yeah. We just
tell her where to put it.
right? Because we don't want everybody to get it. We just want people to.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering if it's not going to everybody. Is there a way just for us to view it?
Yeah, I mean, we can do that. I can just send it to the people who showed up, right? There's no reason to send it to those others, and I have it marked. So I'll put it in that teamwork task and say just send it out. Put it on a page that's private, that, and then just send it to these folks. That nobody else knows the link. It's not like linked to the recordings page. It would just be a page that it would be on. I didn't break it up into separate sections, so it will be long.
That's okay. Yeah. Thank you. That's wonderful. Yeah.
You're welcome. All right. Let me do that. And I'll just do that right after I hang up. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank
everybody.
You. Aloha.
Thank you. Aloha. Yeah. I love it. Bye.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Yes. That's thank you.
Yep.
I'm going to find one of those. I'm going to see if I can go since it's not on. Get one of those nice take your shoes off before you enter signs. We have some cool ones here in Hawaii. Yeah. Bye.